about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, time to get our karaoke on. One request. For those of you planning to sing Creed's Arms Wide Open, please don't.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Boy, that creative thing you guys do, writing jokes for a living, making the world laugh. What do your dads tell their friends you do?
Surgeon. Optometrist. Died.
Jokes are fun and funny, but when they're at the expense of someone, they're just mean.
No, I want my bacon. I gotta tell you something. Bacon is good for me.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. My name is Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Bruce Willis. So, how many children do you have?
Three.
Three. Which is your favorite, Ashton?
Uh-oh.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Beer mug here at the red car premiere.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You absolutely suck.
Roll another one.
Something's got to be done about phone books.
Just like the other one.
He is certainly entertaining.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Who cares what you think?
Nobody.
I need another hand. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine,
D. You Gumby.
Roll another one.
So this is your first time dabbling in food.
Just like.
Oh my God.
Oh, there it is.
In the state of Texas, if you come into our state, you will be executed.
You know, I enjoy young people.
Just pass it around.
Hey, stop fooling her. I'll fight every one of you.
What time is it?
What time isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
Good question.
What kind of moron would threaten everyone in the crowd with a fight?
Stop booing or I'll fight everyone.
How many people you think you were threatening to take on there?
Oh, there were, I don't know.
Hundreds, right?
350 people.
Yeah.
As long as they broke up into groups of 50, I would have been fine.
You were going to mow down one group of 50 and then move right onto the next?
Yep. Come on, all right. Group B, come on up.
Fantastic. Hey, party people. It is finally Friday of Super Bowl weekend. Welcome on in to an all-new Kevin Amin show. Here's a bizarre story. And this comes on the heels of that conversation we had with Dr. Drew yesterday about how the government had this this terrible train derailment to deal with, and it turned into an incredibly toxic site, and they just kind of went away and forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Our government at work, remember that story yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's another Our Government at Work story that you're going to love so much. Stephen Slevin, back in August of 2005, 58-year-old New Mexico man, was pulled over and arrested for driving drunk.
Okay.
So they put him in jail, and they did not give him a pretrial hearing, and they never let him call for a lawyer. And they put him in solitary confinement, and they left him there and apparently forgot about him. So they'd come by and feed him every day, but they wouldn't, ever review his case. They never got him an attorney. They didn't send a doctor in.
Give him the breathalyzer!
He ended up having to pull one of his own teeth. Wow. Because he was in so much pain, and he couldn't get access to a dentist, and he had all the time in the world to figure out how to do that because he was in solitary confinement.
So he literally just got lost in the system where there was no one working on his case ever.
That's right.
Wow.
And how long do you think he was in jail? Oh, 22 months in solitary confinement.
Wow.
That's
just under 2 years. And he eventually, somebody at some point, saw the paperwork, and they said, oh, this guy's not supposed to be here, and they released him, dismissed his charges, and released him.
Right. Hey, so sorry about that whole 2 year thing.
Sorry about that whole thing. Yeah. So he sues.
Yeah.
Now you be the judge. What's that worth? What's 22 months of being in solitary confinement, ignored basically, except for meals shoved under the door? His toenails grew so long they began to curl around his feet while he was in solitary confinement. He had bed sores, fungus, lost all the weight, had to pull his own tooth. How much do you give a dude like that if you're the state of New Mexico? What do you do if you're on that jury?
I mean, I don't know what they put, you know, per year of life.
But that's way more than just your, I mean, that's misery.
I'd say a couple of million.
I would too.
That's not, you're right, it's misery. I mean, that's like being tortured for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'd say a couple million.
If I told you the story and didn't tell you that it was in New Mexico, you would think this was some sort of horrible Iraqi prison or something, right? It's just, it's unbelievable that something like this can happen in the United States. If for no other reason, you'd think that somebody in the course of nearly 2 years, a guard, the warden, somebody would lay eyes on the guy and go, well, we ought to at least let this guy have a haircut.
Hey, what's this guy doing in here?
But you fact that it's in New Mexico, it's a very poor state.
Okay.
I'm going to say less
money.
Go in
the United States, though. How much are you saying?
I'm just saying the award's going to be less.
Okay.
All right. What's your guess, Lisa?
I'm going to guess a couple hundred thousand.
Couple hundred thousand. All right. Kevin, what are you saying?
Couple mil.
Mugs?
I'm with Lisa. He was a prisoner at the time. They're not going to.
Oh, he was a prisoner at the time. Let me think about that and change my guess.
Okay.
Well, He did retain the services of a lawyer, did sue when he got out, and the court was just settled this week. $22 million.
$22
million. To which I say, a lot of money.
Sign me up.
Still not worth it. I don't think 2 years is worth it.
Because during that 2 years, you don't know if you're ever getting out.
Yeah.
The mental torture of that, every day going, today will they figure it out?
How quickly do you think he's going to go through that $22 million? Honestly, he's already gone.
He's going to drunk drive himself off a cliff by accident.
Yeah. Well, he's not an alcoholic anymore, I'm sure. I mean, after 2 years in jail, he's probably got that out of his system, I would hope.
But wow.
I don't know.
$22 million.
I mean, he's 60 now or something like that, or 63 now or something like that. So I would start spending it as fast as I could because his health can't be good.
No, you're right. Let's face you,
this dude is not going to live to be 100, so yeah, just burn through it, man.
You want to go through all of that.
I hope they're not doing it in yearly payments. I hope he got a lump sum. Yeah.
Give the brother a lump sum. Come on. Write him a big check.
But then the court also had to apologize.
We are deeply sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry.
So we got that.
Official apology.
Makes it feel better.
Anyway, one of the largest federal civil rights settlements in history regarding an inmate. But I was just horrified that something like that could happen in the United States. It's just amazing to me.
It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, there are a lot of different stories. It's hard to believe. But the old, we put this guy in jail 2 years ago and then completely forgot about him. You really don't ever hear that story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe they lie. Maybe these people should have just lied.
It was
in the system. It's working its way through the system. Something that's not just, we forgot.
Yeah, right.
This is how it's supposed to be.
Right. It's ridiculous.
We can change the system, but we're not doing anything wrong.
Hey, listen, we'd like to speed the system up, too. I mean, there are a lot of ways you could lie.
That's true.
But they didn't do any of them. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Check, 1-2, 1-2, check, hot, test, 1-2, check, 1-2. Sounds good.
Mugs.
Sounds hot.
All right. Sounds hot. On today's show, we have Cousin Sal.
Okay. Yeah.
Final pick.
Yep.
Final pick of the year. Super Bowl happens on Sunday. He's going to give us his thoughts. He's also he's heavy into the prop betting in the Super Bowl. I don't know if you know what that is, but coin flip and
all the stuff I could bet on.
Which team's going to score first? Which player's going to score first? That kind of stuff. So he's going to give us some prop bets, and he's going to tell us all about the football game this weekend. We have comedian Brad Williams in the studio today. Always funny. Always a good time. We have Carson Daly on the program today talking about his new show, The Voice.
Voice is coming back.
Not new, but it's coming back.
New season starts right after the Super Bowl on Sunday night. The Voice on the cover of the new Rolling Stone magazine, too.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, we are going to talk to a guy from USC who is a film student. I don't know if you remember last year they did a Doritos Super Bowl contest. for students, for film students who wanted to make a commercial. And if yours won, you won $1 million. And they aired the commercial during the Super Bowl.
That is awesome.
That's great.
And this guy won, and we're going to talk to him. He's got some kind of a deal with a advertising agency, and he's helping look for new talent. And
oh, wow.
It sounds pretty cool, yeah.
Did you say he won $1 million for making that commercial?
Yeah.
Has he burned through it yet? We got to ask him.
We got first question.
Yep.
where did it all go? What'd you do with it? Account for it right now. Movie beat on the program today, as it is Friday.
Oh, today's big miracle.
Oh, yes, it is.
Today's the whales are caught under the ice, and Drew Barrymore has to put on a scuba suit and go down and carve them out.
There is that movie, yeah. It's getting great reviews, Bean.
That's what I hear. Are you kidding?
You go by reviews more than anyone I know.
Well, I don't go see any movies, so it doesn't matter what I go by, but I read them. I am interested to see what the consensus is on things. And shockingly, Big Miracle is over 80%, Lisa, on
even
Rotten
with
Tomatoes
real
right
critics, not just people.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes does
consensus
both
of a lot of people. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that doesn't mean I'll see it. Believe me.
That's shocking.
Lisa, I think you need to see it.
I don't like to see movies where animals are in danger. It upsets me greatly.
But they get out.
Yeah. Okay, well.
I mean, it ends
happy.
Yeah,
that's true. Maybe I'll see it.
The whole town rallies together and they get out.
That is lovely.
Plus, we're going to talk to a camel that can predict the Super Bowl as well.
Excuse me, what?
Talk to a camel.
That's what I thought you said.
He's 5 out of 6 in the last 6 years with picking a Super Bowl winner.
All right, huh. Well, you can't argue with success.
That's not bad,
right?
So we got that coming up as well on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
What if I wanted to break? What if you what? What?
How easy, dude.
Man never completes his thoughts.
Easy.
What if we? Just say what you want to do.
It's the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, dude?
Oh, Super Bowl, baby. Super Bowl.
Wait, is that this weekend?
Super Bowl!
Why don't they talk about that on television?
Everybody's talking about the Super Bowl. All that matters is the Super Bowl. And more importantly, it's Madonna at the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yes, very excited.
Holiday.
Was this in the news?
Also performing with Madonna in the halftime show will be Nicki Minaj. Someone got their hands on her contract rider. You know I love the contract riders.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Love to see what the stars demand to have in their dressing rooms and backstage just because they can, and people have to do what they say. And usually these people who have lengthy riders are just douchebags. Because the things they're asking for is just petty crap. You don't need that.
Right, exactly. But legally, if you want them to perform, you have to do it. You have to actually get all of this stuff and put it in their life.
Right, because it's part of the contract.
Right.
Here's what Nicki Minaj is demanding. 12 bottles of Martinelli's apple juice. 6 iced, 6 at room temperature. Because you don't want to drink ice cold Martinelli's cider. You got to have it at room temp.
Now, are we guessing that this is for her posse or this is just all for her?
I'm guessing for the posse.
All right.
Same half iced, half room temp requirement goes for the 24 bottles of Dasani water she demands.
Okay.
She also must have Snapple, Red Bull, assorted fruit juices, and Simply Lemonade.
She is so thirsty.
She has a lot of thirst.
She needs to drink.
Minaj also wants chicken. She loves chicken.
Okay.
Fried chicken.
Really?
Gotta have fried chicken.
Sure.
She needs a 12-piece bucket of spicy KFC with lots of wings and no thighs.
Damn it. Love it.
Take out all the thighs. Lots of fried chicken wings, though. She needs breakfast provided for her. Egg whites and turkey bacon.
She's spending the night? What's happening here?
She's going on. The halftime show is like 6 p.m.
Well, maybe they get there early to rehearse or something. She requires Belgian waffles.
Sweet.
With syrup, powdered sugar, butter, strawberries, and whipped cream.
Nice.
She also demands 3 packs of gum to be specified at a later date.
Whatever she's feeling at the time.
Salad with tomatoes, cucumbers, and wishbone light Italian dressing. Must have a green olive and fruit platter, a cheese platter, and a deli tray.
Wow.
Bumblebee tuna in water with wheat or low-fat crackers. That is all.
Just that?
That's it.
She and MIA are the guests on the new Madonna single that is going to be performed as part of the medley of hits on Sunday.
Yes.
And, which means Nicki Minaj is working for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Her part can't be more than that on that song,
well,
right? This is what she's asking
minutes,
for.
So she's gotta,
I guess it is, yeah.
Got to carb up on some fried chicken.
Bitch got no class.
Have the energy.
Look, if you were, if you had the possibility, if you could work it so that you had a writer to get all this stuff provided for you everywhere you went, Ralph, you'd probably do it too. I know I would.
I wouldn't.
No, I mean, really?
I do have a writer. When Smith and I do our Hollywood Babylon show on the road, they said, "Give us your writer and whatever you need, we'll have him provide for you." So you know, mm-hmm. we perform in Texas and Vegas and stuff like that. And the only thing I ask for is a bottle of Jack Daniels and a bottle of club soda and some ice.
Right.
I want to have a cocktail backstage.
That makes sense.
That's
yeah.
all.
Well, you also don't need to travel with 60 people, which apparently is what she's doing.
I guess.
And who does need to do that?
No one.
No.
But even if you're traveling with 60 people,
I mean, you wouldn't
eat at the hotel or go out for dinner or something. You'd yeah. have to have fried chicken backstage and three packs of gum to be determined at a later date what flavor and some green olive tray and everything. For God's sakes, how don't these people eat anywhere else except at her gigs? Are they just stocking up? They're filling their pockets with Ziploc bags and just taking it home with them.
How would you spend that much money, Bean? You said you'd do it.
How would I spend that much money? What are you talking about?
What would you ask for?
I said you would make demands if you had the opportunity.
No, I'm just saying, if you're going to go someplace, if you're on the road, you're going to go someplace, it would be nice to have beverages and food that you like if you're going to be spending a fair amount of time there. That's all.
I'd like a book on Pluto.
That doesn't sound, I mean.
I want some yellow food.
That doesn't
macaroni
sound like a crazy writer, certainly compared to a lot that we've heard. Seems reasonable to me.
You're the guy who said she's performing for 3 minutes.
You crazy if that seems reasonable.
She needs the supermarket list of food and beverages?
Yeah, maybe I'm crazy then.
No, that's not up for debate any longer, I don't think. And you know how the people in show business always say, oh, we are divorcing, but we're going to stay the best of friends. And yeah. we love each other and we remain close.
And the rest of us look at that and go, wow, I wish we could do that.
I hate my ex and I never want to see their stupid face again after the papers are signed. This story really proves it that it's true. You know Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yes.
Right.
Movie superstar. He's got that Journey 2 coming out
yep.
soon, 3D. When he was married to his wife, Danny Garcia, she was his business manager. They divorced in 2007, but he kept her on as his business manager.
Really?
Oh. He says they are so close that every year they have Thanksgiving together with their daughter, Simone, and their new boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever they're dating at the time. So it's a double date with him and his woman and her guy and the kid, and they all get together for Thanksgiving every year. That's their tradition.
A kid probably just dreads it. This is going to be so miserable. I can't believe it.
By all accounts, they must make it work. If she's his manager, they're working together constantly, and they're having Thanksgiving. It sounds like they really have what I thought to this point was a fiction.
Yeah.
An amicable divorce.
Just making it up.
Yeah, they just have a completely different kind of relationship now, which is probably friendly and business. They probably
how do you get
don't even think about the fact they used to be married.
That's nuts. It's craziness.
Rock's better than we are, though. We know
he
that.
He is, in almost every way.
Yeah.
And for our ongoing feature, Movies That Will Suck, just announced Disney is going to reboot the Short Circuit franchise. Remember Short Circuit?
The name.
Remember Number 5?
The robot?
Yeah, with Fisher Stevens as the crazy, wacky scientist and Steve Guttenberg.
Hmm.
Short Circuit, not ringing a bell.
Huh?
Ally Sheedy, none of this ringing a bell.
Nope.
Yeah, well, you're going to see it again. So
they couldn't just write a new movie about a little robot?
Nope. Bring him back, Number 5.
I am Number 5. Hello.
I don't even know what that is.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Sean Kingston is 22 years old today. Actress Isla Fisher celebrates her 36th birthday.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Singer Daddy Yankee is 36. Anyone? Daddy Yankee?
Reggaeton.
Ah. Hold on a second. There it is. There we go. Maura Tierney from ER and News Radio and other good stuff. She's 47 years old today. Thomas Calabro.
Oh.
Dr. Mancuso from Melrose Place. He's 53. Nathan Lane is 56. Morgan Fairchild turns 62 years old today. And legendary
member of the Kinks, Dave Davies of the Kinks, is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, if you heard all those crazy rumors the tabloids have been putting out about Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rosdale, her man singing on from Bush right there, about the, them having marital problems, she was on the TV yesterday doing an interview, said, no, it's ridiculous. No. Everything's fine. They had pictures of them from the day before out with the kids, making out in the park and everything like that. So they appeared
to be fine. The kids were making out in the park?
That's gross.
Wow. They're just the children. They're brother and sister.
That's the parents right. were out in the park with the kids. The parents were making out while they were there.
I see.
So I'm glad to say it looks like everything's fine because we like both of them so very much. All right, it's Friday here on the Kevin Amin Show. Friday means a number of things, including Cousin Sal with football talk later on today. LaQuisha reviews Jersey Shore right now. How about the movie beat?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Big weekend at the movie theaters. Finally, the film you've all been waiting for. Madonna's new movie, W.E.
Oh, this is the one she was talking about at the award show and all that?
I was so entranced with the process of filmmaking that I didn't even think about music until someone told me I had to do a song for my film.
Forced me to, really?
Ugh. By all accounts, one of the worst films of the year. Here's the thing, Madonna can't direct, and she needs to stop.
Or act, for that matter.
And she needs to stop that as well.
Yeah.
And she really can't really sing that much anymore, so just stop.
But this seems
just
like,
keep working out. Keep working out until you burst into flames and become a pile of ash.
This seems like a slam dunk as far as a story that has a lot of drama in it.
Well, it's been told before, but it is the story of King Edward VIII and American divorcee Wallace Simpson, and these two fell in love. Naturally, he couldn't marry her because, first of all, she was a divorcee in a time when that was frowned upon. And also, she was an American. That wouldn't work with the royal family. So Edward decided to abdicate the throne, step down from the kingdom in order to be with the woman he loved. By all accounts, he didn't really want to be king anyway.
Oh,
but
is that right?
That's behind the scenes. It's not the romantic side of the story. The romantic side of the story is he gave up all for his love.
Hmm.
You may remember this from the King's Speech. There's sort of a subplot there because his brother
was
the one who assumed the throne, and he had a stuttering problem and so on and so on.
Right.
But by all accounts, this is just miserable. This also is reflected in a modern romance between a married woman and a Russian security guard. And their relationship supposedly mirrors this relationship, and it's told back and forth throughout the film. So Madonna's taking on two stories here, not just the one.
There's nothing
because she
you're
has that kind of skill.
Makes me want to go see this.
Well, then please reserve your judgment until I play a clip for you, where King Edward VIII is telling Wallace Simpson that he will give up the throne for her.
David, let's stop all this talk about marriage. It frightens me, and I can't see any good coming of it.
Why?
Your family will never stand for it. The Prime Minister won't stand for it.
Then I'll give up the throne.
If I had any sense at all, I would just disappear.
Don't you understand? You can do whatever you like, go wherever you want. But whatever you do, I'll follow you.
Stalker!
Boo! If I had any sense at all, I'd just disappear. Shut up.
Whatever you do, I'd follow you.
Shut up. When Madonna comes on stage at the Super Bowl, they should throw cans of this film at her. That's what they should do. Also opening up this weekend, Big Miracle. Oh, it
there
just
it
gets
is.
Better. It there just it gets
is.
Better, people.
Yeah! Finally.
Drew Barrymore saves Wales.
Ralph, you know I'm not a big fan of the critics.
These whales are scared. These whales will die if they don't get them out from the ice.
B, what did Rotten Tomatoes have to say about this movie?
Well, as of yesterday, it was over 80%.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
It could be 100%. I don't give an F about Rotten Tomatoes. I don't go to that site. I'm telling you now. It could be 100%. This isn't good.
No one's defending it, Ralph.
They're not good.
Giving facts, that's all.
Not good.
I'm sure it's terrible.
Kristen Bell plays a reporter. John Krasinski plays a reporter. Everybody's reporting about Drew Barrymore saving Wales. Fred Wilma and Pebbles, you see, named after the popular Flintstone characters.
Here's some good news. More reviews are in. It's down to 68%.
Woohoo!
Which still makes it twice as good as it.
Maybe they only showed it to two guys initially.
Maybe so.
That's how they got 80%.
Still too good for Kevin to go see, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is...
No, but I'm with Ralph, by the way. Ralph said if it's 100%, he's still not going.
These whales are scared, and they must be lit from their eyes. I'm going in. You can't go in there and swim with those whales. I'm going in the freezing water. Give me a scuba hat.
Tell me how John Krasinski keeps getting
such bad career
advice. He has a horrible agent.
Because he's a terrific actor and should be a big star right now. What's up?
Every film he's made has been a piece of something not good.
Whale turd, right.
That's right. All right, here's your scene. Drew Barrymore doesn't want the press, played by reporter Kristen Bell, to ride with her as she goes to save her whales.
Whoa. Press have to find their own way out there.
Never heard that one before. Did you just make that up?
No, everybody is doing it.
Come on, lady. Help me out. Do it for the whales.
You don't care about the whales. You care about ratings.
Yeah, the ratings are what's going to keep the rescue going, which is going to save the whales.
She's right.
Nope.
Wow. You don't care about the whales. You just care about ratings. No, everybody is doing it. What?
I do not see that film in my future.
Drew Barrymore should be pelted with cans of this film. That should be the punishment when you make a bad movie. They take those big reels of film in the metal cans and they throw them at you. And you just have to stand there and take it.
I like it.
Woman in Black. Now, this looks good. This looks creepy good. I like this. Looks creepy, creepy good. Daniel Radcliffe stars as a young lawyer who travels to a remote village. And he discovers the vengeful ghost of a scorned woman is terrorizing the locals. She is the Woman in Black.
During afternoon tea, there's a shift in the air. A bone-trembling chill that tells you she's there. There are those who believe the whole town is cursed, but the house in the marsh is by far the worst. What she once is unknown, but she always comes back. The specter of darkness. The Woman in Black.
Ah! That's scary.
It's pretty much become Halloween year-round now, isn't it? There's no bad time to open a ghost story anymore.
No.
It's all right. It's all right with me.
Scary movies
good.
Sell, people. That's the way it works. And this is my favorite movie coming out this weekend by far. This is what I'm looking forward to most. It's called Chronic What, Cole? No, it's just called Chronicle. And it is about three high school buddies who gain superpowers. Now, you would think, yes, I'm a geek. I love superheroes. Right. I love superpowers. You would think that would be like a feel-good family movie about three buddies who become superpowered. No, it's a realistic take on what would happen if three teenage boys suddenly got powers beyond that of mortal men. Far beyond the imagination when they start being able to do supernatural things and their lives start to spin out of control. Their friendships are tested and the dark side starts to tempt them into doing things they wouldn't ordinarily do. Chronicle looks awesome. Here's some clips from the trailer.
That's just some great
thing. What the hell is this guy's problem?
Stop, are you crazy?
Why did you do that? What the hell is wrong with...
Was it an accident, Andrew?
I'm worried about Andrew.
Listen to me. We can't screw around with this. It's too dangerous. Andrew, it's not a game.
Andrew!
Just making that sound.
What is that?
I knew we were going inside.
Steve, wait up. Matt, look at this.
Holy.
Yes.
Andrew is a bad dude.
Yeah.
And so the other two guys have to kind of team up and keep him from going off the rails.
In the trailer, there's a truck following him, and he just points his finger and
swipes it off the road.
It goes right off the road.
Kills the driver.
Probably killed, yeah.
This film is shot first person, which means it looks like it's a home video. The entire thing is captured by a home video, and that's what gives it that sort of intense first-person feel. And I think it's an interesting story, and it looks like it's interestingly told as well. So I think Chronicle's going to be your best bet this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Every time I see the ads come on, NBC, the Super Bowl in 3 days, the Super Bowl in 5 days, whatever it is, I always think, why do you have to advertise the Super Bowl? Who doesn't know when the Super Bowl is?
That is a good point.
I don't know. Right? Anyway, they might as well not play the game, I'm sorry to say, because apparently the Giants are going to win, and the Giants are going to win 27-24, and Lawrence Tynes is going to kick a game-winning 40-yard field goal as time expires. This according to the Madden 12, which has predicted the Super Bowl correctly, Kevin, 6 out of the last 8 years.
So they take the Madden game, and then they have the two teams play each other, you know, thousands of times or whatever, and then they average it out. That's not even accurate at all compared to what I have, but go ahead.
What do you have that's
talk about
this?
Your because, silly little...
got Eli Manning throwing 2 touchdowns and 1 interception,
right.
Tom Brady with 3 TDs and 1 pick.
Uh-huh.
Eli wins the MVP award, and again, the Giants win 27-24. It sounds to me like the game's already been played. What's the point of going on?
Well... my point is that I have an even more accurate source, and that is the closest thing to a sure thing may come from a camel in New Jersey named Princess. And I don't know if you've seen Princess. What did you say the record was for Madden?
6 out of the last 8 years, the Madden game has correctly picked the Super Bowl.
5 out of the last 6.
Wow.
Well, percentage-wise, that's a little better.
Princess, the camel, has picked 5 out of the last 6 Super Bowls.
All right. Well, we asked producer Dave to line us up, Princess, at the New Jersey's Popcorn Park Zoo. And I believe she joins us from New Jersey now on what will be a very, very busy weekend for us. Hi, Princess. How are you?
Hey, my baby. How are you doing today?
Wait, we're waiting for...
How are you today?
We're looking for Princess the Camel. I'm sorry.
You're talking, you're talking to Princess the Camel, baby. How are you doing?
We're good.
I'm so glad to hear it. It's a great time. Super Bowl's coming, eh?
Right.
Hey, I love Super Bowl.
What are you doing?
Just having a little smoke, my babies.
A little smoke?
Yeah. Camels don't smoke.
The hell we don't. You know what kind of the brand I smoke?
Camels.
That's right, I smoke camels. Hey, how you doing, everybody? Yes, that's right, I smoke camels, baby.
Now, is it true, Prince?
You know, I do all my rim shots. I do all them myself. You know why? I'm a dromedary camel. Hey, wow, you have a comedy.
Put the camel in the file. Are you kidding me with that?
Too big to fit in the file, baby. I'm a big camel. Hey, what do you like? One hump or two? How you doing, my babies? How's everyone out feeling tonight? Hey, how you doing?
Now, is it true that you predicted the winner of the Super Bowl 5 out of the last 6 years?
That's right, my babies. I have a knack for it.
Uh-huh.
I get the vision of who's going to win, and I just say it, baby.
Do you watch all of the games during the season, or you just do it cold turkey without watching anything?
No, not turkey. I'm a camel. Hey, woo, hey. No, I do watch the games when I can.
You do, okay.
I don't get good reception in my cage.
Right, right.
But I also, you know, I like to put the feelers out there and get information from the streets, baby.
I see, okay.
I have a sheep here at the petting zoo who gives me a little inside information.
Okay. Now, how would a sheep know anything about what's going on with the game?
Because he's a ram. Hey, what the heck? What the heck's going on here, huh? Hey, we're having a good time, eh, baby?
Apparently, the general manager there at the Popcorn Zoo places a cracker in each hand with the name of the competing teams, and then whichever hand you go to receive the snack, that's the one that they say you're picking.
That's right. I take a nibble of a graham cracker,
uh-huh.
And that's how they know which one I pick. In retrospect, it'd be easier if I just told them.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. You speak perfect English. Why not just ask you?
Because they don't ask me. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to speak out of turn, baby. I'm a very respectful camel.
Is that right?
Okay. Now, Princess, I don't think we've said yet. We mentioned what Madden and their game came up with. Who do you like for Super Bowl 46?
I am picking New York Giants, baby.
The New York Giants.
Giants. Okay. Yeah. You agree. All right.
Because Eli Manning, I'm a big fan of his.
You are?
From one dumb animal to another. I think he's spectacular, baby. Hey, you know who my favorite ice skater is?
Favorite ice skater.
Can't imagine.
Dorothy Hamill. Oh. Hey! Remember her? She won a Olympic gold, baby.
Yep, we do. We remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're good
with
that, huh?
My favorite actress is Veronica Hamill.
All right. Listen, Princess, when you look at the tie, we really do have to go, but congratulations on the big pick.
I want to F you like a camel.
When they come to you and say, hey, we're going to put your show on after the Super Bowl, that's a way of saying, hey, you have a good show. We like your show. Your show's the bomb, right?
Yeah.
And that's as good as it gets.
I think so, yeah.
And that's where The Voice returns for season 2 right after the Super Bowl this Sunday night. We'll talk to the host of that show, Carson Daly, next half hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
I believe it was Machiavelli who once said, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web, any size, catches thieves.
I don't think
just like flies. Look out! Here comes the Spider-Man.
Wasn't it just the guys who wrote the Spider-Man theme song?
Yes, it could have been. I often get them and Machiavelli confused.
All right.
I am hosting a very special sneak peek at the upcoming Amazing Spider-Man movie, one of the most anticipated films of the year. These tickets were available online, but now they're all gone. The only ones that exist are here, right here in my pocket. It's happening Monday on February the 6th, AMC Century City. Around noon, we will be showing footage that hasn't been seen by the public before. You'll be the first to have seen it. It's happening around the world, too. We're going to be showing this simultaneously, New York, Rome, Rio, here in Los Angeles, international event that also will be have some very special surprises as well. Everyone's going to be talking about this the next day. You can be there if you're a real Spider-Man fan and give me the answer to my trivia question.
All right.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call.
Guys,
here's the trivia
up.
Question. One of my favorite Spider-Man villains by far, Electro.
Oh, Electro.
Come on. Everybody loves Electro, right?
Sure.
The best.
Electro.
He or she is.
She's great.
Electro is a supervillain who gained the ability to control electricity after being struck by lightning while working on a power line.
Wow.
True.
That is true. All those things came together. It was the perfect marriage.
I guess so.
Of electricity that made Electro the supervillain that he is. If you know Electro's secret identity, what's Electro's real name? 1-800-520-1067. Oh, I love Electro. One of the best costumes in comics. Giant lightning bolts on his mask coming out of his head. Oh, good stuff.
Ryan Gosling.
No, Ryan Gosling is not Electro. All turns out he is not Electro.
Did you say he was a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a bad guy. He's a supervillain, Bean.
He's a supervillain. Okay, sorry.
Everyone knows Electro's a supervillain.
I'm sorry, I missed that. I was out that day.
Along with Spidey's other villains, the Rhino, one of my other favorites, the Rhino. With his impenetrable rhino skin suit. Mysterio.
Oh, my God.
And
you're
Goblin,
a dork.
The Vulture. Oh, the Vulture.
You are such a
one of the few
dork.
Elderly supervillains there are. The Vulture.
Just too old to do anything except
no.
Sit around and wait to pick at the bones.
Pick on corpses?
Yeah.
No, but his suit gives him super strength and he gets to fly.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk.
There's a Vulture
I
there.
I can't see too far and I can't hear too good.
There's the Vulture. And his wings are also razor sharp, so he flies by and goes, whoosh, and it cuts you up, man. It's bad news.
You're all a right. Gigantic dork.
I heard you guys talking about the Super Bowl with that camel. That camel is
camel
crazy.
Was great.
I think it may be in the bag for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
In the bag meaning they've got it won?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they have God on their side.
But I thought God was on the Denver side.
Well, obviously they're not in the running anymore, so God needs to all pick right. A new team.
All right.
Gisele Bündchen, supermodel wife of Tom Brady, sent out a just disgustingly sappy email to her friends and family begging them to pray hard for Tom and the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Look, if she says do it, I'll do it.
I feel Tommy really needs our prayer, our support, and love at this time, she wrote in the message.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
Here's the rest of the email. My sweet friends and family, this Sunday will be a really important day in my husband's life. He and his team worked so hard to get to this point, and now they need us more than ever to send them positive energy so they can fulfill their dream of winning this Super Bowl. So I kindly ask all of you to join me on this positive chain and pray for him so he can feel confident, healthy, and strong. Envision him happy and fulfilled, experiencing with his team a victory this Sunday.
Wow.
Thank you for your love and support. Love, G.
Wow.
That's embarrassing. If you're Tom Brady, I'd just say, don't send that out to people.
Yes, you do. I
got
this one, honey.
People already think I'm flimsy. Now you're going to send that out? My wife's begging for prayers for Tommy? Oh, for God's sakes, woman.
Do you think Tommy has talked to her like that in the last 10 years?
No possible way. Whatever you say, honey. Whatever you say.
That was a good idea that you sent that out.
Wives can embarrass like no one other than maybe your mom.
Yeah, but
just
come
make
on.
You look like an ass.
She should know. She should know PR. She should know all
she
of that. She's been in the public eye.
She's a supermodel.
I don't know how this
smart.
Got out.
Doesn't say she's smart.
Well, no, but you should know enough to know that's embarrassing to your husband.
And while everyone's talking about the politics of the Republican nomination and these debates that everyone's been watching and reviewing, they're ignoring, I think, an important candidate that we need to start paying more attention to.
Okay.
How about the person who is pursuing the Green Party's nomination for president of the United States?
Wow, you're right, Ralph. We haven't heard much about that at all.
No, we haven't. Till this week, Roseanne Barr has officially announced she is pursuing the Green Party's nomination for president.
That's why we haven't heard much about it, I guess.
She wants to be president. We need to start listening to her platform.
Okay. What is it?
All right. She will forgive all student loans.
Okay.
Homeowner debt and credit card debt will be forgiven.
Okay. Good. Where's all this money coming from?
She will kick out the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
She will institute single-payer health care.
Okay.
All right.
She will pursue all of those she calls financial terrorists. She will reconfigure all American diets. I'm glad Roseanne is giving us advice on what to eat.
Whoa.
She said she will shift away from all animal proteins and move everyone towards proteins from nuts. By the way, she owns a macadamia farm in Hawaii.
Oh, okay. There's no conflict of interest there, Mr. President.
I will fight for gay rights, she said. I will legalize marijuana, and my favorite part, abolish all taxes. Yay, Roseanne Barr for president.
Woo. So she's going
to... How's she going to run the government?
She's going to cut
off. She's just going to dissolve
magic
it.
Wand. She's obviously got a magic
she's
wand.
She's going to spend a lot more money and cut all taxes.
Yes.
I'm
Kevin,
in.
Kevin, what part of that is hard for you to understand?
I'm in. You know I vote comedy.
Once she legalizes marijuana, think of the proceeds that will roll in from the marijuana
well,
tax.
That's true.
Oh, no, wait proceeds.
She's no abolishing yeah. all taxes.
No, right. All of it.
Yeah. We have any answer to my trivia question?
We do. We have Brandon.
Brandon? Brandon?
Hi.
Hi, Brandon. I need the secret identity of supervillain Electro from Spider-Man comics.
That's Max Dillon.
Max Dillon is right. Congratulations. You're going to spend the day with me on Monday. We're going to take a look at some never-before-seen footage from the upcoming film, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Awesome.
Hold on. I'll give you all
Not
the details.
Not as cool as being with a girl, though, Brandon.
It's cooler.
Well, it's actually my wife's birthday that day.
Oh,
wife.
Yeah. Wife, quotation mark. Yeah.
See? You take your wife to the screening. That's very nice. Happy birthday to your wife. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details.
You got to put the air quotes up when you say white.
Sure. Stop it.
Come on now.
He's real. Max Dillon. I loved Electro. Electro's one of my favorites. Max Dillon. Spider-Man.
That's Bob Dillon. That's very different.
Today's celebrity birthdays are on a piece of paper.
In another room.
That would be perhaps.
The little B-girl.
No, that was yesterday.
Oh.
Rapper Sean Kingston is 22 years old today. Isla Fisher. The lovely and talented actress is 36 years old. Maura Tierney, also lovely and talented. She's 47.
She, Bill, what do you think?
I think Maura Tierney's adorable.
I think so.
Yeah. She was supposed to be on Parenthood. She was cast in Parenthood. And then was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she had to take some time and get well. But apparently she is in remission and she's doing well. So that's great.
Great.
Nathan Lane is 56 years old. Actress Morgan Fairchild celebrates her 62nd birthday. And Dave Davies of the legendary rock band The Kinks celebrates his 65th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of our favorite comedians and little people, Brad Williams, joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Carson Daly from The Voice on the way. Lucretia reviews last night's Jersey Shore. That's all coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, before we look ahead toward the commercials that we're going to be seeing this weekend for Super Bowl 46, and there's a lot of them that are already getting some attention, like the Matthew Broderick reprising his Ferris Bueller, the Honda commercial. You're hearing a lot about the polar bear commercials from Coca-Cola this year. Let's think back to last year. The best commercial, pretty much by everybody who watched the Super Bowl last year.
That little kid, it was Darth Vader.
Exactly. But the one after that that people remember, Kevin, was the guy who was coaxing his little pug dog to come running toward him and smash into a glass door to get at the Doritos that the dude was eating, and he got squashed. The guy himself got squashed under the door, and the pug got the Doritos. So it was a happy ending. It could have been potentially tragic, but turned out to be happy. That's the wrong button. The man behind that commercial is on the phone with us right now. J.R. Burningham joins us now. He won the Doritos contest and $1 million to come up with that commercial that aired during the Super Bowl last year. J.R., welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Awesome. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. I'm so glad somebody refreshed my memory on that commercial because, yeah, of course I remember it. Everybody was talking about it. And you were an amateur. You weren't one of the guys who was doing commercials for a living at that time, right? This was your big break.
Yeah, it was. It was my big break. I was, I was trying to get in, and Doritos had the, you know, they kind of offer everyone who isn't in the system a way in, and it's really competitive, but man, the prize is huge.
Okay, so to win this prize last year, what you had to do was make a commercial, and then it had to win the popular vote? Is that how they chose the three finalists from Doritos?
You know, they don't really disclose how the finalists are chosen.
Okay.
They do have a voting period, and I think last year it was two of the two top vote getters got were to play, and then Doritos got the select one, but then they never tell you never find out which one won the votes and one was selected.
So then they play the commercials during the Super Bowl, and then your commercial has to be rated number one out of all the commercials.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to beat everyone.
And then you get the $1 million, and then that happened to you.
And it happened. Yeah,
that's
I was in shock.
That's craziness.
You should have been. Yeah. Now this isn't.
I walked around for a couple of weeks just waiting for like a tree to fall on me. Right. I used up all my luck.
Now this isn't one of those deals where you're a teenager in the garage with an iPad and you managed to make a commercial out of nothing. I mean, you had a film background, right? You had been studying. This was where you wanted to go with your career anyway, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, everybody who was a finalist had, you know, they. they'd all been, I mean, one of the guys had made music videos for, like, Alice in Chains. And, I mean, nobody who got actually was a finalist was just kind of like Joe Schmo from their garage. It was everybody who was a finalist was, like, you know, a trained professional who just hadn't had their break yet.
Interesting. And you went to USC Film School, of course. And what's your life been like since you got noticed? I mean, this is quite the calling card to the industry. You not only get the $1 million, but you get all the exposure a guy could want. Did every company in America start calling you and trying to get you to come work for them?
Unfortunately, it wasn't quite like that. It did open a lot of doors, but, you know, one of the things is that the system has its own kind of methods and its own, you know, you kind of, most people come up through the system. So one of the things about having, like, this kind of no-name person win the Super Bowl is that nobody's looking at the Super Bowl to find new talent. So a lot of people actually didn't even know about it.
Oh,
so
I see.
We had to, like, continually inform people because nobody's looking at the Super Bowl to find new talent. You know, that's where...
Yeah, I think you take for granted this. The Super Bowl commercials have to be done by the best, you know, commercial makers in the country. And they have to be the professionals, and there's no possible way it could be a guy at USC Film School that made it.
An amateur, yeah, right.
It's so true. So it was kind of, initially we had to continually tell people, you know, this is what we did, and a lot of people were like, no, what?
Yeah, trying to figure it out.
But it started to sink in once we got more exposure, and then the doors started opening.
How did you find the man, the woman, and the dog in the commercial that you made for the Super Bowl last year? Just friends of yours?
Actually, the dog, yeah. I mean, I'd actually had this idea of, like, making a... I just wanted the... I love the idea of a pug running in slow motion.
Okay. All right.
And so it was kind of like that was the genesis of the idea. And we have a friend who has this really adorably cute pug. And so... we had access to that, and actually, the guy who was in the spot was—he's a great actor, but he'd auditioned for my wife Tess, who's a producer, and she produced it. He'd auditioned for her, and she just remembered him because he was really good.
Hmm.
And so we just actually just called him up, and I had seen some of his stuff before, and I went, "Oh yeah, he's perfect." Yeah. He showed up. He was, you know. He's really, I think, a big part of why that commercial works so well. So
yeah, he's so expressive, and you're rooting against him so much. You want him to die, and then you know, you're happy that the plug wins. All right, listen, we're almost out of time here. J.R. Birmingham is on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He made that commercial we're talking about with the plug at the Super Bowl last year. You're involved in Doritos, and they're looking and what they're doing this year, kind of a similar promotion with the company?
I was early on to promote it, and they had, you know, a huge turnout this year, like over 6,000 commercials submitted. And
wow.
They're all back. They're back in Indianapolis right now getting ready. All of the other contestants are sweating it right now.
Right. I bet they are. You know exactly what it feels like to be them. All right, last question for you. So you're working in the commercial field now. Do you have other spots on the air that you've made? Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I've made a few. None of them have hit the air quite yet, but I've made like six of them, and then I'm also working on some feature film stuff. So
a lot of
those open. Yeah,
that's fantastic. What a great story. I mean, you always hear about these promotions, and you don't really. Most of us, you know, we see the story and we go, "Oh, that's neat." You don't think about how it literally changes somebody's life overnight. But how fast did you burn through the $1 million, JR?
Oh, within a day. I just spent it on Doritos.
It went right up your nose, didn't it? Be honest.
Good answer. Thanks for coming on, dude.
All right, cool, guys.
We welcome to the studios Carson Daly. How do we book this guy, man? This is cool.
Let's
get some headphones for Carson here.
Here we go.
He comes running down the hall from 15 feet away. By the way, give it up for Carson Daly for being on a popular show that people like and leaving that to come in and do our cruddy show that no one listens to.
Please.
Hi, Carson. How are you, man?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me. This is very bizarre.
These are cans right here. We call these cans.
I get it. What's going on? Dean, Kevin, Lisa, Muggy, what's happening, buddy?
Carson.
What's going on is you with the biggest audience of your career this weekend. Look, you've been on television a long time. Will you ever have more eyes on you than you will after the Super Bowl when The Voice comes back on NBC? I mean, this is crazy, right?
There was one point last year after, I think, the first episode of The Voice in April when it aired, and I got a phone call, and it was from somebody high up at the network, and he was like, "Get ready. This is going to be a wild ride." The ratings were like... way beyond what they'd even thought. Like, it was like bona fide hit sort of thing.
Right.
And then at some point, somebody was like, you know, next year, I think NBC's got the Super Bowl, and if The Voice continues to do well. So, I mean, the fact that this weekend all the planets have aligned and season two kicks off after the Super Bowl, it's really just, it's unbelievable.
Now, the episode after the Super Bowl, is Paula Abdul on that one, or did you already fire her?
No, she's not.
She's gone, or?
No, that's the other show.
I'm sorry.
That's the other show.
I apologize.
By the way, you should hire Paula Abdul just briefly so that you can't fire her, and then she will have been on all of the shows.
We should just hire all of them so nobody can get any current star.
The Voice was the highest rated NBC entertainment show last year.
It's
right?
Kevin's favorite show. Let's be honest.
It is my favorite show.
It is. I made him publicly apologize for giving me a hard time about it last year.
Because
I don't watch any of these shows, and Adam Levine hates all those shows.
Sure.
And this one came out all right. It's a good show.
It came out all right, except for the fact that you cheated. I mean, the button was way too far away for CeeLo Green.
Oh,
with his little tiny arms.
How dare you?
He's got those little stumps. You got to bring the button
closer. How dare you?
He's reaching and re-diving to try and hit that button.
We're going to give him a back scratcher.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about the judges. And this was the genius of this show. When people first started seeing the ads, they said, there's no way these people work together. There's no way you take a country star, Blake Shelton, you put him together with a diva, Christina Aguilera, and then this CeeLo Green guy. How is all this going to... But, I mean, they all seem to be really good friends. I mean, it seems like it is just... It shouldn't work, but it does, right?
I think that because we started from a place of this shouldn't work and it does. Nobody really want... Honestly, this is the secret to the success of The Voice. Nobody wanted to do it.
Good.
Everybody was from the bad side. No, everybody sat in there and said, "No, we don't want to." Like, we thought we knew what this sort of singing competition reality show was going to be because they're on TV right now, and none of us like them.
Right.
And then they said, "No, this show is completely different." So we all kind of went to the table with the same thing. So I think the commonality is that we all just didn't want to do it, and now we love this particular format. And everybody really did get very close. The four coaches live together now.
Is that right?
They all moved into a house in Tishomingo, Oklahoma.
Do you get to live with them?
I don't have to do anything. They're like media blitz. I mean, Blake was on Leno last night. Adam was on Fallon. You have all of them are on Ellen today. At the Super Bowl, they're all singing and doing something, and I'm just... I've been drunk for 48 straight hours.
They're not giving you much of the heavy lifting, are they?
I don't have to do anything.
You're on our show.
Yeah.
I watched last season, and I didn't think Christina was getting along so much with some of the other judges.
It's a good point, Lisa. They have their moments. She and Adam last year have their moments. You have to remember, a lot of what you see over many episodes, like 6 or 7 or 8 episodes, was captured in like 2 days, 2 20-hour days of shooting.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
And then sort of spread out. So, yeah, they do get on each other's nerves. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Why don't they just have sex and be done with it? It's clearly sexual tension. That's
season
what I
three.
Think.
That's in the world.
Oh.
Is that right?
Yes.
What happens, Carson? I know you have to run back in a minute because your LMFAO records are getting ready to run out. But what what happened to Javi? Did he got a record deal? Obviously, is Javier
Colon? Yeah,
the winner. Yeah,
is he a star? I mean, is he going to
well,
work
you
out
know,
for him?
I don't think you know. Well, no, I don't. You know, he's in like you know, he's not not number one on the chart. But yeah, I think it takes some time. I mean, he's got a great voice, great singer. Javier Colon also wanted to make a certain type of record. That's the other beautiful thing about winning is that he has total creative control to put out, you know, whatever he wants to do. So he's, you know, he's married, he's got kids, he writes music for his wife. I mean, he's got a certain type of music and it's on that record. So it's not a record that we would play in top 40. Or
gotcha.
You'll play it, or
we'll play. Right. All right. In your final seconds here, tell us about.
I've got
the
time.
Episodes.
What do you mean?
We were told you had to be out by 28 after.
Don't. Who's we? What do you mean? No. Let's go.
Your
let's
people.
Play.
All right. Let's go.
Tell us what happens.
Yeah.
We start with blind auditions again because it's the first show of the new season. That's what we're going to see. Tell us a little bit about what we'll see Sunday night.
Well, the first season was rushed, and so we didn't have a tremendous amount of time to really focus on the shows at different time slots. So season two is just bigger and better, and it seems as if. People who want singers watched the first season and said, you know, working singers who are actually gigging said, you know, this is the show we want to go on. And so we, at the auditions, we really saw an influx of incredible talent. So the level of talent season two is really through the roof. And they were lucky enough to make me a producer on the show. So I only say that because for the last 6 months, I've been inundated with watching these auditions and being a part of the show from the inside out. And it's really, from a musical place, a very, very strong show this year.
But here's the first audition
after the Super Bowl, the very first blind audition, and we fought roundabout which one to lead with.
Why do they
because
have
we're
to be blind?
So many eyeballs is great. Because, you know, that way you don't, it's
I don't
pure.
Understand.
It's like you don't know anything about, you're not looking, you don't know if it's Jim Carrey's daughter, you don't know who it is. You don't know anything about him.
You don't do that. She's hot, she's in.
Right.
That stuff doesn't
it's
happen.
It's just if you're moved by the voice, yeah. then they just hit their buttons and the game's on.
I gotcha. Now, do you have? Do you keep the bad auditions? Do you have that someplace? Because I'd like to raid your
there
personal
are none.
Stash.
There really are very few. There are very few.
Carson, there have don't to be lie. People who show up just because they want to be famous or want to be on TV.
They
but
just
have
don't
no
make
talent,
it. They
Carson.
Don't. They don't make it. They just,
you don't waste everybody's time by putting those people in front of the judges. Basically,
we don't make fun of people. We just don't. You know, there's no comedy in that for us. That's not what the show is. We did see a lot of girls. You know, it's funny that New Girl on Fox became such a big hit for Zoe, because probably one of the most common auditions that I saw were girls coming in who had that real adorkable vibe.
Really?
And then they all had ukuleles this year, which is a really weird thing. And they all sang like an ironic version of Nicki Minaj. That was the thing this year.
The memo went out. And
I don't know what it was.
Who knows who sent it out, but they all got it.
Kind of different, I think, because of the way Dia Frampton and Senya captured a lot of attention last year. Maybe that had something to do with that. Yeah. But it's
all
a
right,
strong
here's
season.
Here's my last question for you. And our guest is Carson Daly here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about The Voice Season 2 premiering after the Super Bowl Sunday night on NBC. Don't miss Carson on NBC weeknights at 1:35 a.m. with his awesome late night show called Last
Thank
Call
you,
as well.
Bean,
but here's my question. Is The Voice so popular now that if you were to get hit by a bus and killed this weekend, your obituary would say Voice host Carson Daly instead of TRL host Carson Daly?
No,
has it
how
supplanted
dare
the
well,
fame?
By the way, definitely, I mean, the TRL the stuff, VH1 just aired a TRL documentary and like the 40 greatest TRL moments. So my Twitter account has been had just blew up overnight. Everybody has really been quite nostalgic about the TRL generation. So yeah.
Sure, of course.
I don't think so. I think TRL is still pretty strong. You know,
that'll still be in the lead line of your New York Times obituary over The Voice, you think?
Thanks, Bean. That's morbid.
That's Bean. Yeah.
That's an odd
it's
question.
All about
that's
good. Death. How's it going to end?
I'll think about this when I'm flying out of LAX to Indianapolis today.
You have
going
TV...
500 miles an hour in a tube.
You have a TV show coming on after the Super Bowl. Let's talk about when you die. That's Bean's line of...
Thank you, Bean.
Questioning.
Have a great time at the game. Hey, what's your pick, by the way? Everyone we've talked to today has picked the Giants. What do you think, Carson?
Well, I think the Patriots are going to win, but I want the Giants to win. I'm a Raiders fan through and through, so I cannot. It's against me. I can't root for the Patriots.
It's just not possible.
It's not possible, but I do think the Patriots are going to win.
All right. Good times. Have a great time in Indianapolis,
thanks,
man. We'll
guys.
See you again
thanks.
Soon.
I appreciate it
very much.
Congratulations, seriously, on the show.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock and Scaro Q. It is 7:39, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Some songs just need a hey, man.
They
I can't
do.
Help that. All this week here on K-Rock, we've been giving you tickets to the Smokeout Festival with Korn and Sublime and Cypress Hill, Wiz Khalifa, a bunch of other great bands on that. And you're eligible for the grand prize drawing that we'll do later today in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll send somebody to Amsterdam to see Korn. It's destination number 5 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. Keep listening. One last chance to qualify for that on the way.
Now it's time for you.
Was that too early? Did I jump the gun on that one?
Well, I mean, it could have been smoother, but I think it worked out okay.
I'll do it again if you want to try it again.
It's a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. How about a brand new citizen
today?
And now
it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
You know how groups get together and they buy lottery tickets?
Yes.
As a group?
Sure.
Well, there's a town in Spain called Sodetos, Spain, and apparently there are 17 villages around, and they all went and collected money for what they call the fat one, which is the big lottery at Christmas.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
This lottery in Europe is, it is the big one, isn't it? Hundreds of millions of dollars if you win, right?
It is $950 million.
Oh, my God.
So the town of Sedano, Spain, won. They all won.
It's unbelievable.
Wait, I'm sorry, did I say all?
Yeah.
They all but one guy won the lottery. Everybody except for one person. Apparently, the homeowners association went around. They got everybody's money, a dollar or whatever, and they collected from everybody in 17 counties. This guy, somehow they missed.
They missed him. He didn't say, "I don't want to."
Correct.
They just missed him.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, they owe him some money.
I don't think so. I think they didn't want to have him.
Oh, they
obviously,
like him.
If they got everybody else.
Yeah, that is a good point.
You know, they burned this guy.
Oh,
so how much
man.
Did each person win?
Each person won $130,000.
Oh, wow.
Dude.
And this guy, none.
None.
Zero.
So when he walks around town, every single
yes.
resident he encounters has $130,000 in his pocket, and
yes.
he's got nothing. That's awesome.
Our second one is, talk about a rude awakening. Early last Thursday morning, a woman in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, discovered that the FBI was sawing through her front door with a chainsaw.
can't. That's not good.
I thought you kicked in the front door. You
yeah,
picked
the
it.
Battering
picked
ram
a lot of
thing.
The battering ram or yeah. something. Since when do they use chainsaws? So apparently they cut through the front door. They ran in. They put her at gunpoint for about 30 minutes. And then somebody came in and said, and the guy goes, oh, I'm sorry, this is the wrong house. It was the same. It was the same complex, but a couple of rooms over. A couple of
oopsie daisy.
Yeah, so not the right one. And
that's a bad start to your day, by the way. When you're face down on the floor with the FBI's got their boot on your neck after they chainsawed your door,
yes.
And then you find out it's the wrong apartment.
But at least her 3.5-year-old wasn't looking on.
Oh, wow. Traumatized forever.
Good times.
The final two involve teeth. And this is why I don't want to get old. Apparently, there was a surveillance video of a Western Pennsylvania bank robbery last month. And the woman walked in and she said,
I'd like all your money.
And they said, I'm sorry, we don't understand.
I'd like all of your money.
So she robbed the bank. They gave her the exploding die, you know, dollar bills, whatever. Yeah. They tracked her down. And she was robbing the bank because she didn't have dentures. And she wanted.
She needed money for teeth?
She needed money for teeth.
Oh, that's the saddest thing ever.
I would like some money for teeth.
And she got caught, so she's now in jail with
no teeth. Where you're actually pretty popular.
With no, that actually is quite helpful. And finally, we always talk about the top of the mountain to the bottom of the valley.
Mm-hmm.
One second you're in heaven, the next second you're in hell.
And this can't believe how fast your circumstances change.
This could probably be one of Bean's death corners. But a 74-year-old man died after having sex with a 63-year-old prostitute in Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
Because after he had sex, he swallowed his dentures.
Oh, no.
His teeth, top and bottom.
He choked to death on his own dentures?
Dead.
Sex
with a prostitute. This is going really well. I'm 74. I'm banging somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
She may be 63, but at least she's somebody.
Right. And then.
That's tough.
Dead.
That's how you want to go, right, that's guys? Come on.
It's how you want to go, but you want to go during the sex. You don't want to wait until after the sex and then choke on your own dentures.
Yeah. It's close to how you want to go.
It is close enough for me. Yes, that's
true. Now you know, Kevin and Beans, Citizen of the Day.
There's a midget in the other room.
Little people.
There's a little people in the other
little person,
room.
Little person.
There's a little.
Can I just get the sentence out?
No, can you? That's what we want to know.
Funny man Brad Williams joins us coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show after LaQuisha takes a look at the Jersey Shore. That's all on the way. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Just a little sad.
Why?
Sad? Why?
Because today's the anniversary of the day the music died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Yeah.
When Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper went down on that plane. You know, Kevin.
Yeah, no. Really.
Sad day.
They commemorated that with the song American Pie. Don McLean, you remember that?
Hated that song.
So in honor of that, I'd like to sing the song American Pie by Don McLean in its entirety.
Way.
It runs about 8 minutes or so. Yep. So everybody kick back, relax, and enjoy American Pie by Don McLean. A long, long time ago.
That's all we have time for.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
That's fine.
Knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
February made me shiver.
Okay, we got it today.
Paper I deliver.
Today's the anniversary of the day.
Bad news on the doorstep.
That's
I couldn't take one more step.
Hey, Ralph, Shut up, dummy.
I can't remember if I cried when I haven't even gotten to the American Pie part yet.
I know. Seriously, stop.
Can you do it on your podcast instead? That song blows.
Glad you brought that up. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock at the Lovitz on City Walk.
Ralph will sing that entire song for you.
I just may. It's me and John Lovitz this weekend, the owner or operator of the Lovitz. So if you want to go, it's Hollywood Babylon. At the Lovitz, thelovitz.com for details and tickets. And, you know, who's on before us? Brad Williams. Brad's opening for me.
He's going to be out here in a few minutes.
Yeah. All right, let's talk tickets to the Amazing Spider-Man special event that I am hosting on Monday, February the 6th. It is a sneak peek at footage from this much-anticipated film. No one else has seen this before. You'll be the first, and we've also got some special surprises in store for you. And it's also happening around the world simultaneously. So you'll be part of the L.A. celebration. It's happening in New York. It's happening in London. It's happening in Rio. It's happening all over the world.
celebrating the amazing Spider-Man. Here's your trivia question. If you're a Spider-Man fan, you should know this. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Last hour, we talked about Electro. Oh, I love me Electro. My second favorite, I think, Spider-Man villain, the Scorpion. Ah, the Scorpion with his mechanical tail. He can whip the tail around and knock you on your ass with his tail.
Okay, he doesn't sting you with it? He just hits you with it?
Well, he's got a stinger, too, but it's like a prehensile tail. He can move it at will. It's awesome.
Okay.
I need to know his secret identity, the real identity of supervillain the Scorpion from Spider-Man comics. Please call now, 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer. And you'll be going with me to see the Amazing Spider-Man sneak peek, rare unseen footage.
This is odd in that you're not showing the movie.
But you know how they showed, like, the Dark Knight? They showed, like, 10 minutes of it to give you an idea. People are anticipating that. They want to see something. This is about 10 minutes of The Amazing Spider-Man that hasn't been seen in the trailer, hasn't been seen at Comic-Cons, nowhere. This is brand new footage that they're going to show the hardcore Spidey fans. So we want them to come and check it out.
So it's a cash grab. It's a way to make money before the movie even opens.
Not a cash grab. No charge. This is the tickets have been given out. They were given out online, and now I'm giving them out, but they're not charging anyone for the tickets.
Then that's just treating the fans right is what that
I'm
is.
I'm sorry and kiss my ass.
I won't do that second part, but I apologize. That's very cool that they're doing that then.
Big, big trouble in Germany. Isn't there always? Seems like their world wars and stuff.
Like they do.
Like they do. Now, a feminist group in Germany, and you do not want angry German feminist people, I'm telling you. Have you ever seen the females they put in the Olympics?
Yeah.
Oh, they're bigger than, they got bigger guns than I do. And heavier beards. They are PO'd about the Rolling Stones Fan Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because the Rolling Stones Fan Museum... Listen to Bean.
Oh, yeah.
I saw this story last week. I wrote it. I was the one in Germany who reported it.
They sent me there to do some research.
The urinals at the Rolling Stones Fan Museum are shaped like the band's logo, which, as you know, is a pair of big lips, Jagger lips, and the tongue coming out.
Right.
You've seen it on all the albums, right? And then you urinate. Where you do your business part is the open mouth.
Right.
That's the urinal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an attractive concept, but apparently it's popular with Rolling Stone fans.
Yeah, I would imagine.
However, the tongue from the logo is missing on the urinals, as you can imagine, because it would just come spilling out on the floor, I think, if there was a tongue in that mouth.
Okay.
So it's just the logo without the tongue.
Okay.
The women's group saying it's not the logo at all. If you don't have the tongue, it's just a woman's mouth. And that means you are telling men you should relieve yourself in a woman's mouth.
Come on.
And that is against the rights of women.
No.
That is misogynistic, and that is anti-feminine.
Look.
Why do they think it's a woman now, all of a sudden, if it's based on the Rolling Stones logo, which is clearly Mick Jagger?
Because there's no tongue, which means it's not the logo, which means it's just a big pair of lipsticked lips, which means women, which means you are condoning that sort of behavior.
That's what should happen.
That's what you're saying should
Nobody
happen.
Nobody is taking that message away
That's
from that.
That's the message, no, Kevin, obviously.
Zero people are walking out with that message.
And you are part of the problem. So they're asking them to be removed from the Rolling Stone Fan Museum in Germany.
Oh, dear.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
The Germans do make good stuff. By the way, Lamar and Chloe are very proud to announce that they own one of those urinals in their home.
Oh,
okay.
One of the Rolling Stone urinals.
All right.
Yes. I guess they only need a urinal because they both stand up when they pee. So there's no need for a toilet in that particular facility. And this is great news. FX has announced they're developing a rock band comedy with a gentleman by the name of Dave Grohl.
Really?
Yes. He is creating the show for them. It's a half-hour comedy series centering on a group on the verge of stardom while simultaneously on the verge of constantly breaking up. So apparently they're constantly at odds, but they're a good enough band that they're right there on the precipice of finally breaking through, and it's the hilarious, wacky, chaotic adventures
that sounds
of that
funny.
Band. It does sound funny. Especially with Dave involved, I think it's going to be awesome. Apparently Dana Gould, very funny comedian actor, will star in the series. So that's good news for everybody.
There's nothing Dave Grohl can't do, by the way.
That's true. There's not.
Sickening.
I would like to see if I have a winner or not, but Mug refuses to pull down this picture from Sports Illustrated.
You have a winner. We just don't know who it is.
Oh, okay.
It's Daniel on line three.
Daniel?
Yes.
I need the Scorpion's real name.
Matt Gargan.
Yay! He's Matt Gargan, the Scorpion. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see this never-before-seen footage from The Amazing Spider-Man with me on Monday.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Mac Gargan. And Mac later on, of course, became assimilated by the symbiotic Venom.
Venom
suit, and he became Venom also.
Oh, so you don't want to mess with him.
He's twice as dangerous.
Yeah.
Why do you give away pairs of tickets and not just singles, by the way? Because none of these people have friends or dates.
It'll take them a long time to find somebody to go with them. Seriously, though.
No, not seriously. Lots of comic book fans have lots of women and lots of wives and girlfriends.
Yeah. No, comic book fans and women are always in the same sentence.
You know, you have such an archaic view of geeks. We're not those people anymore, you know?
Uh-huh.
The geeks haven't inherited the Earth, people. If you weren't watching, the Steve Jobses and all those guys, all the sci-fi nerds and geeks and comic book fans, they've inherited the Earth. While you guys were just busy hanging around with your thumbs up your butt.
Don't throw.
Watching soccer games. We took over the world. By the way, we have to do a break next week on how many soccer games Kevin has DVR'd here at our show, on our station. In our office, not his home, our office is being clogged up. We're like out of DVR room because Kevin keeps taping soccer games that he doesn't watch.
How much time is he spending in the office watching TV? He's gone by 10:30 every day.
Is he bringing a sleeping bag? Is he planning sleepovers? Is he going to have a cot and stretch out? Listen, why is he using our DVR?
I'm perfectly willing to watch one of them today, right after the show, if you'd like, Ralph.
You do that.
And watch it together with you.
Nothing worse than nothing better than an old soccer game. More exciting than watching a soccer game you know the answer to.
Their sporting events are better on tape. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that. Come on.
Today's celebrity birthday is Dave Davies of the band The Kinks is 65. Morgan Fairchild, 62 years old today. Nathan Lane is 56. Thomas Calabro of Melrose Place turns 53. Maura Tierney, 47 years old today. Isla Fisher, she's lovely. She's married to
Sasha
Baron Cohen.
Can't wait for that movie.
They're a lovely couple. The Dictator?
Oh, The Dictator looks very funny. So good.
36 years old today, and rapper Sean Kingston is 22. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Q, and it's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, by the way. Not only will the beautiful Stana... What's going on?
Go ahead.
Stana Katic is going to be on with us from the TV show Castle. We'll also talk to Chris Kyle, your hero, Kevin. He's the guy who's the all-time number one sniper.
Yes.
In U.S. military history, 162 kills, something like that.
Yep.
Talk to him about the book and the fascinating life he's led. And also, we have Grammy tickets that you can win starting Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's go back to the phones, see what LaQuisha is up to. On to talk about last night's Jersey Shore on MTV, another new episode. Hi, LaQuisha.
Whatever.
You mean whatever?
Whatever.
Oh, come on. What's this about?
Why
whatever? I'm here to represent it.
Why whatever?
Because you guys are doing this to me on purpose now.
What are you talking about? You love this show.
You made me watch an hour of television last night, which was about a little Italian piglet peeing herself.
Oh, who's peeing herself?
Snooki.
Yeah, I guess. Who else?
Last night's episode was basically all about the fact that Snooki can't control her bladder.
What's going on with her?
I know. I'm no urologist. I just know girlfriend can't hold her water.
Oh, that's not good.
She was at a club last night with all the friends, dancing on the dance floor, and for some reason just unleashed on the dance floor.
Oh. I really started dancing with like my girls, and I legit peed myself.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Yep. That happened on the dance floor.
Why?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Well,
just stop peeing, Snooki.
I agree.
I would say to her.
I agree.
But Dina, her friend, didn't seem to mind too much.
Oh, my God. Nicole's out of control. She's freaking peeing on a dance floor. It's crazy. Like, thank God nobody else saw it.
Yeah, nobody saw it. But some people did see a puddle on the dance floor.
Oh, ouch. Wow.
You don't want to be doing the electric boogaloo or whatever and then slip and fall in a puddle of Snooki pee.
No, you really don't.
Help me understand this, LaQuisha, because I didn't see the episode. Is she just so drunk she doesn't realize she's peeing, or is she too lazy she just doesn't want to go to the bathroom, or what's happening?
We will investigate all the potential reasons for this later on in the episode.
All right.
Just hold on. Just hold your horses, Bean.
Can't wait for that. Can't wait.
Now, what Snooki does when she's at the club and she does wet herself, like any self-respecting person, she is embarrassed. She leaves the club. She goes home. She showers, changes her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I forgot. She went into the ladies' room and just tipped the attendant to get some perfume and sprayed it in her crotch.
Oh, wow.
That's what she did.
Sweet.
Honestly, I don't care. If you spray perfume and take a shore shower, that's still considered a shower. Don't call me dirty. I'm not dirty. I smell phenomenal.
She does. She smells phenomenal. She smells like Jean Date and urine.
Oh, man. What's wrong with her?
She called that a shore shower when she just sprays perfume in her crotchal region.
Sure. Mm.
Now, meanwhile, Dina, the next day, is at home. She's trying to get ready to go out again, and she tries to plug in her hair dryer, and she gets a little shock from the plug. Depending if it's a short or a bare wire or something, gives a little shock. And Dina, well, she overreacts a little bit.
My whole arm was, like, tingling, and I'm just like, I cannot believe I just electrocuted myself.
Yeah, you didn't electrocute yourself.
I wish you had.
We all wish that had been the outcome, but if you look it up, you didn't electrocute yourself. But she's very concerned about the after effects of this electrocution.
Sure.
So she asked Sammy, another genius, what happens when you get electrocuted? Now, this is a kind of a long clip, but I've left it in its entirety so okay. You can appreciate the two Mensa members here talking about the electrical properties of what happens when you get shocked.
Electrocuted, does it mean like you get f***ed up?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, do you think my brain's all crazy?
Yeah, like, your brain's crazy?
I don't think so. I think you'll be okay.
Police zap criminals with their electric gun.
Oh, that's true.
All the time. And they're all right.
Yeah, maybe it just shocked you a little bit. Is it the same electrical, though?
It has to be.
Yeah?
There's different electrocutions.
I think so. I think, like, wall electrocution is, like, electronics.
Yeah, but I think, like, when the police do it, they zap the people, and they, like, go down because it's so bad. Like, you just got a little zap in your arm. You should be all right.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with these electronics? Like, things that plug in the walls, like watts or whatever they're called. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We are all now a little dumber for having heard that conversation.
That is the dumbest person alive.
The cops shoot their electric guns, and they shoot people, but a wall electronics are different. Man. Well, Snooki's out the next day and drinking during the daytime, and she suddenly gets the urge to pee again. So she got to run to the bathroom, takes Dina with her, and it's this little snippet of them coming out of the bathroom I thought tells you everything you need to know about these two girls.
I'm not washing my hands. Yeah, I don't ever do it.
Yeah.
What?
Snooki says, I'm not washing my hands after she comes out of the stall, and Dina says, oh, no, I never do that.
Oh, wow.
Well, surprise, surprise, it turns out Snooki's got a urinary tract infection.
Right.
That is affecting her bladder.
Uh-huh.
And she has diagnosed herself.
I feel like I have a UTI right now because I have to pee every 2 seconds. So UTI doesn't stand for Ultimate Tanning Institute. It stands for a urinary tract infection. But you could call it either way.
Little Snooki comedy there.
That's her being funny.
Yeah. Well, luckily, Snooki does have a medical background, so she knows how to treat herself.
Good.
I'm a vet tech, and I know what to do when it comes to UTIs. So drinking when you have a UTI is kind of, you know, like a painkiller, like anesthesia, like you don't feel it.
That's right. Doctors recommend drink as much alcohol as you can when you have a urinary tract infection.
That is true.
Huh.
She is a vet technician, so she does know about doctoring.
Yep.
Now, you're a vet technician. You only know about dogs. You're not a dog.
Well.
Or is she?
She is, yeah.
Because in the next day, all the bathrooms in the house are occupied.
Oh, no.
So
no.
Our girl Snooki goes out to the patio outside the kitchen.
No.
Drops down into a squat.
No.
No, please no.
And proceeds to relieve herself on the wood deck outside the house. Until she is discovered by one of the other housemates.
You're paying! All the bathrooms are taken. I don't give a f***.
Oh.
She's such a hottie.
She is. She is sensitive and caring and loving and pees outdoors. She's housebroken. She's everything you could ask for.
She has everything.
Well, Snooki's dad shows up at the end of the episode, and if you see him, you understand why Snooki is the way she is. This guy's in a wife beater with tattoos all over, with a do-rag on his head, and trying to be like somebody.
Oh, no.
He shows up, and she's getting her hair done, and he wants to know what's going on, and she's got some news to break to him.
By the way, I'm going to the doctor's later.
What's the problem?
I think I have a UTI.
Okay.
My dad was like, I don't get why you keep getting UTIs. So I'm like, I don't know, Dad, but it's from sex.
Yeah, Snooki, I'm pretty sure your father knows you're a whore.
Yeah.
I think he probably knows better than anyone, because if he don't watch the show, other people do, and they come up to him and say, hey, Snooki's dad, Snooki's a whore. And so that's how he found out about your whorishness, you ugly, pugly little whore who urinates outdoors and on dance floors. Whore.
So you love her?
I do not love her.
Oh.
I do, however, love that she is infected with something.
Right.
Hoping perhaps it'll be an infection that is antibiotic resistant and will ravage her brain and then kill her.
Yeah. We hope this is the beginning of contagion. That's what we're hoping. All right.
Yes.
The season is not over yet, LaQuisha?
It is for me.
LaQuisha, we'll talk to you next week.
No, you won't.
Yeah, come on
and
now.
Not the week after that, neither.
What?
I'm not doing this no more.
LaQuisha.
Go right to hell.
Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Cousin Sal joins us next hour talking about Super Bowl bets that you can win at this late date. Also, we're going to do the grand prize drawing and send someone to Amsterdam to see Korn in concert, too. Destination number 5 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. Hey, I feel like there's somebody in the room, but I can't see anybody. What's going on here, Kevin?
Oh, wow. That's how it's
going to be. I see the top of somebody's head. Have them stand up. What's going on? I can't make out who's in the room.
Brad Williams. He's having trouble hearing. Can you hear now?
Yeah, now
there you
good.
Go.
Hey, funny man Brad Williams. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful. Good to be here.
I was just saying really, really nice things about you.
Oh, darn, I missed it. Well, Bean, you don't owe me anything else.
Why? What's
going on? Because the last time I was here, I was here about a month ago.
Right.
And Bean, near the end of my segment, says in the microphone, so, if you want to get laid by a midget, just tweet Brad Williams.
No, right.
And guess what happened?
Really?
Yes, Bean is a wingman.
No, Bean's never been a wingman.
Bean's a wingman.
Brad, Bean's only a wingman in that he makes anyone look good.
You don't need any help from me or anybody. You know that you do pretty darn well with the ladies yourself. But what happened? How did this go down?
Well, after your comment, you said, like, hit Brad up on Twitter. Uh-huh. And somebody did.
What was his name?
Terry. A female hit me up on Twitter, and we started exchanging messages. Don't worry, it was direct messages. I didn't accidentally Charlie Sheen my number out
good,
there or anything
right?
like that. And then she said, why don't you come pick me up at work, and then we'll go out on a date. I said, great. So she gave me the address. I go to pick her up at work. I just type it in the GPS. I don't look it up or anything
right.
like that. So I pull up, and it's a strip club.
All right.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And then she like comes out and then like she's obviously just getting off work.
Right.
But then she like says, okay, where are we going? And I'm thinking to myself, nowhere. We're here. Like this yeah. is.
We're home.
Yeah. Why are we leaving awesomeness right now? We're leaving. And now there might be some females going, no, you got to go out afterward. No, that would be like a guy walking out of like Mr. Chow. Or something like that, or Morton Steakhouse, and going, hey, there's a great hot dog cart down the street. No, I'm going to stay here.
You stay where you are.
Exactly. And but then at the same time, like as much as I don't mind like strippers and porn stars and stuff, by the way, 9 are coming to my show tonight.
It's 9?
9 porn stars are coming to my show tonight.
How did that happen?
It snowballed.
Let's pause on that and finish this story with the stripper. So she was attractive, and she had a fetish. She wanted to take you up on your offer to sleep with any askers.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's weird because she's just coming out of work at a strip club.
Right.
So it's kind of like some dude coming off the ice of a pickup hockey game, be like, hey, here's my jock if you need one. You know what I mean? It's kind of like used goods at that point. You know what I mean?
You made her shower.
Well, sure. I keep a bottle of Purell in my car. Here, rub this on you, sweetie.
you missed the spot.
Yeah, but then, like, I didn't know she was a dancer, so I don't know where to go, because I don't know if I want to, like, go to a place that, like they're playing music, like, if Pour Some Sugar on Me pops up in the radio, she'll have, like, a Pavlov dog reaction.
Right.
And he's
right.
like, start popping up, like, there's something I should be doing now, you know what I mean?
Perfect case scenario.
It's too random and too sketchy to want to take her to your place. You're not, you know, you don't have that much invested in it yet. So what'd you end up doing?
We ended up just going to the place across the street from my house. We went to the Slide Bar in Fullerton.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
That's the place.
And it's right across the street from my house. Uh-huh. So
Yeah.
And in the bathroom, or how did that work out?
Now, Brad just has a booth at the slide bar. That's as big as his apartment. It's all the room he needs.
Exactly.
I believe it.
So she fulfilled her fantasy of being with a little person. Was it everything she hoped it would be?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her.
Just take for granted it was.
Sure. Well, but like, here's the
guy
thing.
Think.
You win at that point. Like, if you do the fantasy, it doesn't even have to be good. I don't even have to perform.
Agreed.
It's done. But although...
Because the fantasy is...
That's it.
Yeah.
But ladies, don't worry. Sex with a Dwarf is great because, all I got to say, doggy style standing up.
Yeah. Strong. Very strong.
That's tough to argue. That's tough.
I don't get tired. I don't cramp up. I don't have that moment where it's like, hold on, I need a break. No. I just keep leaning into it.
Would you like to give out your Twitter address so that we can...
Sure. We can have this happen again.
Hook you up again?
It's at Funny Brad. You can tweet me at Funny Brad. And,
he's a funny tweeter, too, as well. He's not just looking for chicks, I hope.
No, I try to tweet stuff throughout the day. I'm not just the guy that hypes my shows. My show is tonight at the Lovitz at 8 p.m. tonight and tomorrow at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. And, yeah, there's a porn star named Brittany Amber who follows me on Twitter. And said she was coming, and once she...
To the show!
Right.
Dirty Minds.
And says that, and then about eight others hopped on that bandwagon.
You're the king of porn!
Wow, I am.
How did that happen?
Brad Williams is the king of porn!
Nicely like, done, Brad!
Yeah, oh, you're looking her up
That's
right now.
That's not even a good picture of her. That's
right.
A lot better. Look at those over there, yeah.
You guys jumped right online.
What are you
talking
about?
There wasn't even a beat.
Of course not. We're trying to figure out what's going on. That's all.
Exactly.
We just
want to figure out what's going on in the life.
We just want to see what's happening in Brad's world.
That's happening.
Brad's world right now is pretty good.
You know what? It does not suck to be me.
Yeah.
Like the worst thing I have to go through is maybe like hopping on this chair up in this.
That did take a little bit of excessive work.
I like how you guys were quiet. Like, is he going to make it?
Yeah. We had bets.
Yeah.
By the way.
Well, this is a high chair. If I fall off this thing, it's like dwarf suicide. Like, goodbye, cruel world.
Yeah, you're not just going to break something. You're going to actually hit and die.
We have to take a break for a moment here. Brad All Williams right. is in studio performing at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater. It's a great double bill, by the way. Brad at 8, and then stick around for our friend Katie Morgan. She's coming on at 10, and then tomorrow night you're on at 8, and then Ralph and John Lovitz himself are doing the HBO show right after you. So it's a full evening of entertainment. You can get those tickets at thelovitz.com.
You have midgets and porn stars. Do you need anything else?
No.
No. That's it.
And only $15 for Brad's show, too, by the way.
Exactly. So, why not?
Pretty good deal. We'll return right after this with more with Brad on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's some pretty good air drumming.
It's funny when it's midget air drums because I just got these little T-Rex arms and they're going nuts. It's just like, it's a blur. By the way, happy Black History Month, everybody.
Thanks.
Same all right. To you. Same to you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I mean, but here's my thing. And
Kevin and Beach, OK Rock, Brad Williams.
Oh, yeah, your show.
Brad
yeah.
Williams.
No, go on. Just take over.
I don't know. Like, tonight I'm at the Lovitz Club at 8 p.m. as well as tomorrow. And I don't know. It's like it's Black History Month and I'm seeing all the commercials now. And I'm just thinking, I'm going to get some hate mail from this. I don't know. Do black people still need the month? Do they?
Yeah, I don't
know. Don't get me wrong. At one point, necessity.
Correct.
Everyone needed it. But it's like, look at the scoreboard right now, black people. You guys have... You know, you guys have the NBA, NFL music, their NFL, hip-hop music, the president. You won! You won, black people! You are killing Whitey right now!
And there's a lot fewer of you.
Yeah! So. And you're destroying Whitey, so you don't need the month anymore. I say we just give it to midgets. It makes more sense. February is the shortest month of the damn year.
Not bad. Not bad. Good.
Then we have our month.
Midget month.
How awesome would midget month be?
Oh, that'd be so great.
Just like a Billy Barty movie marathon on every channel.
Except for you're really one of the only people who allow the word midget.
There you'd have to rename it.
That's true. I would guess there are, what would you guess this, 90%?
I got 90 of at least hate me.
Hate that word. I hate you for accepting that word.
I was in Tampa, Florida last weekend, and one of the local newspapers actually ran a headline that said, come see Brad Williams and find out why midgets hate him.
Oh, sweet. That's a good headline.
And I sold out 5 shows.
That's a good headline, just like that.
So thank you. But it's always weird because, like, when I go to these cities, I like to go out and, like, go to the malls and do whatever. It's always weird to see how the different people react differently, mm-hmm. like in based on their race. Like I've noticed that like white people, when they like white kids especially, they're taught like, okay, you know, Trevor, don't say anything, you'll offend somebody.
Right.
So the kid just like, he wants to say something, but he knows he can't. But he wants, so he ends up just like pointing and gasping, just like, ah, you know, like doing one of those.
He's dying to say something.
You got the Mexicans; they're a little better. They're a little better because they'll say stuff, but they say it in Spanish because they think I don't speak it.
Do you?
I live in Southern California. If you don't speak Spanish, you'll starve.
That's true.
Okay. So, I speak Spanish. I know what the little kids are saying when they run up to me like, mira, mira, este un chiquito con cabeza grande. You know? they go until their mom comes and hits them. Mio, dude, look into his eyes. It's a chupacabra. No! I'm not... Okay, there's white people listening who have no idea what's going on. They're like, what's the... mira, mira, es un chiquito con cabeza grande means look, look, there's a little dude with a big head.
With a big head, right.
And chupacabra translated into English is Khloe Kardashian. So then there you go. The best ones are the black kids, though.
What do they do?
Oh, they're just honest. Black kids, they don't have that filter.
They haven't been taught to be politically correct.
Not at all. I love them. They'll see me cross the street. Hey! Hey! What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, you think the dad's offended? No, dad's right behind him. Yeah, what the hell is wrong with you? I love it. I love that honesty. I like that. Yeah, well, because people want to know, and then I get to tell them. Because if I don't, then they start thinking that I can't do stuff. Then they start making stuff up. I love that every race has their stereotypes.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the most part, let's be honest, true. A lot of stereotypes,
right.
True.
Sure.
Me, my stereotypes are all, like, fabricated from fairy tales or something. Like, my people make chocolate. We live in trees. We dance well.
I mean,
it's
true.
It's nuts. So I...
Pot of gold, whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think we got to start some actual good stereotypes out there.
Like, you know, what?
I don't know.
What's
like,
a good stereotype?
Midgets. We climb ladders fast or something. I
like
don't know.
It. Good. Good.
Or just
our
stuff
units
like that.
Are as big as we are.
I like that stereotype. And by the way, ladies, I'm not a hater. I'll go to all shapes, sizes.
This is what we found out from our friend Brad is that a lot of women really into the at least once having
curious,
sex
bucket
yeah.
list
having sex with a dwarf or a midget. I mean, that's very important.
They want the story because when you're out at a party, if you know you're with that one guy that's showing off, like I just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Right.
It was a religious experience and
I was
being
crying.
In the cold and it felt like I touched God. You come in and go, well, I slept with a midget. Attention on you at that point.
You win.
You win at that point.
And what I like about you, Brad, is that you're willing to give them that story.
Absolutely.
That's nice of you.
Well, that's the thing is I've just discovered that some people think disability is a bad thing. Disability is a great thing, especially if you're a midget, because people are just happy around you. No one's sad when no one ever sees a midget and yells out, well, now my day's gone to hell. That doesn't happen.
No, that's true. They're very excited.
Yeah, you see what it might be like. You can get fired from your job, find out your wife is cheating on you. You walk down the street, you see me, you're just...
Spreading
sunshine wherever he goes.
Exactly.
That's what Brad Williams
it's
is all about.
It's all sunshine and lollipops with little people.
Your day's gone to hell, but when you show up, it's all happy.
Yeah, they should just give midgets to cancer patients.
As a gift?
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, we've discovered you have cancer. Darn it, here's your midget. Hell yeah!
I'm not sure you're going to get that one through, but I like it.
That'd
be
great. There'd be guys outside smoking 2,000 cigarettes at once. What are you doing? They give you a midget now! Bring on the cancer!
John Lovitz Podcast Theater is where it's going down tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock both nights. $15 is all it is, by the way, to go see Brad Williams on stage at thelovitz.com is where you go. Brad's comedy album coming up short is available on iTunes or through Amazon.com, bradwilliamscomedy.com. And, of course, you should follow Brad on the Twitter. You got some funny people following you, too, people like Jeffrey Ross and people like that. I know you comedians are tight.
Yeah, love Jeffrey Ross.
Brad's funny, too. Brad's a funny tweeter.
Very funny. @funnybrad. Very exciting to see you again. I'm glad you're in town for the weekend, man. Have big fun, all right?
Have big fun.
You can have a big anything.
Can
I mean,
file that.
Time for Ralph Garman and another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I think it was John Lennon who once wrote...
Nope.
It was the guy who wrote the Spider-Man song. Does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man in the sky with diamonds.
What?
I think it was John Lennon who wrote that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was original lyrics to Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
I'm not sure that's true.
It is one of the most anticipated films of the year, The Amazing Spider-Man. Reboot of the Spider-Man franchise. A lot of fans looking forward to seeing this. We are doing a special event on Monday. You can't buy the tickets. You can't get the tickets online anymore. You can only get them here from me today. It is going to be unseen footage from The Amazing Spider-Man held at the AMC Century City on Monday, the 6th of February at noon. Plus special surprises. It's going to be an international affair. We're doing it around the world at the same time. I will be hosting. You will be attending if you can answer my trivia question. We've been talking about Spider-Man villains all morning long. This is a good question. I like this one a lot. The very first supervillain that appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 1, the first Spider-Man comic with his own title, March 1963. Name the supervillain who made his first appearance in that first issue of The Amazing Spider-Man. Number 1. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. If you have the correct answer, you'll get a pair of passes to come join me for this special, never-before-seen footage that we're going to be showing of The Amazing Spider-Man.
You can use one or two if you don't have anyone to bring.
You can bring your wife or your girlfriend or whoever you want. And at the very least, geeks have lots of friends, Kevin. Geeks are always surrounded with other geeks. They travel in packs, so there'll be somebody who wants to go with you to go see this footage.
All right.
Get to see 10 minutes or so of this movie that no one else has seen. It's a hot ticket. And I don't like you poo-pooing, quite frankly.
I'm not poo-pooing.
You're absolutely poo-pooing. Huh. And I do not appreciate the poo-poo. J.J. Abrams, our buddy. Is there anybody more successful in television right now than J.J. Abrams?
No.
And movies, too. The movies, guy's too. Incredible.
And he's got this new app that I'm obsessed with called Action Movie FX or something like that.
Oh, yeah, where you can put in your own
videotape yourself, and then you can, like, take yourself out with a rocket.
Yeah, or a helicopter lands behind
That's
you.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. He's got a brand new series. Already got Alcatraz on the air, Person of Interest, Fringe. Oh, by the way, people,
yeah,
Fringe. Tonight, brand new Fringe. This season has been amazing. And I know it's Friday nights and no one watches TV on Friday nights, but this show is on the bubble and it needs every viewer, every pair of eyes it can get. It's just such a good show. And I'm afraid it's going to go away. So watch Fringe. It's so good this season.
And it needs to not go away before faux Olivia and Olivia make out.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what we're
hitting
for.
They need to get some chocolate pudding wrestling or something to save the world. I don't know. Walter creates some machine that's generated, the energy generated by chocolate pudding wrestling. Right. We have to get two of them involved.
We're on the same page. Good.
As I mentioned, he's got Star Trek. And now he's got a new TV show.
Another new
TV show. It's going to be on NBC. It is called Revolution.
Revolution.
Interesting premise. It's an action drama about a group of characters struggling to survive and reunite with loved ones in a world where all forms of energy have mysteriously ceased to exist.
I'm already living in that world.
No, you would not be able to live in that world. Imagine a world with no computers, no planes, no cars, no phones, no lights. All energy.
I was just thinking about my energy. Okay,
has been blacked out forever.
Wow.
How does America survive? And we follow this group of people as they try to make their way in the world without any form of energy in the world.
Interesting.
Fascinating. I bet that would be a very tense world to live in.
But quiet. A very quiet world to live in.
Except for the people screaming and jumping off of buildings. You'd hear that.
Other than that, though.
Unfortunate sound. Is porn star Kim Kardashian in love? Word has it she's got a new boyfriend.
Sure.
Did you hear about this?
No. But it doesn't surprise me, and sure.
I think it will surprise you.
And she's getting
married. First of all, he's not black.
Okay.
Not even a little bit. Not even like Chris Humphrey's black.
Okay.
Mark Sanchez. Quarterback for the New York Jets, Mark Sanchez and Kim Kardashian. Are they a new couple?
Does she only date athletes?
Apparently so,
yes.
Yeah. Now, here's the interesting part of this rumor. The relationship started in secret prior to Kim ever getting together with Chris Humphreys.
Oh.
And now that marriage is over, the romance has heated up again.
Well, it could have ruined that marriage.
Yeah, really?
And her being in love with somebody else.
By the way, Sanchez,
yeah,
one of his past girlfriends,
mm-hmm.
Kate Upton, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He does all right for himself.
How did he let her get away?
It says here in the story, bedpost notches include Kate Upton, Hayden Panettiere, and reportedly Eliza Kruger, who's 17, by the way. So let's leave that one off the list for Mark's sake, shall we? Maybe she met Mark at USC when Reggie Bush was
could be
there or something coming
could
out.
Be.
I'm not sure, but apparently
two of them, hot and heavy.
Huh.
Looking forward to the sex tape.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to see that. He's a good-looking fellow, that Mark Sanchez.
No, no, for her.
Oh, for her, yeah, that too. That's what I'm saying. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Don on line five may have the answer. Don?
Yes.
First supervillain in the first issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
It's the Chameleon.
The Chameleon is correct, sir. This may come as a shock to you, Kevin and Bean, but the Chameleon is a master of disguise.
Really? Wow.
Master of disguise, Chameleon.
Really? The Chameleon's a master of disguise?
Yeah, he can change the way he looks.
Huh.
Like a chameleon.
Huh.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size.
That's right.
Catches thieves like what? Just like
flies. Uh-huh.
Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man.
Don has moved on. He's having a conversation with somebody else.
Hold on, Don. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going with me on Monday.
All right, cool.
All right, cool. Hold indeed. On. Whose version of Spider-Man was that?
Sounds like that Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Is it Michael Bublé?
Bean insisted on having that.
All right.
I didn't insist. I offered it to you if you wanted it. That's all.
Okay, take it
easy. All right, everyone relax. It's Friday. Weekend's coming. We're all going to get away from each other. Everyone just breathe. We're all very close to not being in the company of each other. It's all going to be good. Today's celebrity birthday, Sean Kingston is 22 years old today. Isla Fisher turns 36. I vacationed once on the Isle of Fisher. It was lovely. I've never had a more relaxed vacation than on the Isle of Fisher. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place is 53. Nathan Lane turns 56 years old today. Morgan Fairchild, the actress, is 62. Dave Davies, legendary British rock band The Kinks, 65 years old. Maura Tierney from News Radio and ER is 47 years old. Vlade Divac.
Ugh.
One of Kevin's favorite basketball players ever.
I'm a Laker fan, and I used to boo him every time I went to a game.
The Serbian flopper. Wasn't that his nickname on the court?
God, I hated him so much.
He's 44 years
old.
He'd
smoke
today
while playing and flop every play.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wait, the Super Bowl is this weekend?
Yes.
Hasn't anybody been talking about it? Why is there no publicity for this
anyone's
thing?
Anyone's been talking about it. Pretty much
we
it
discussed earlier today that if you believe the folks over at Madden, EA, who make the Madden games every year, they run the teams that are playing in the Super Bowl to determine who's going to win. Six out of the last 8 years, they got it right. This year, they say the Giants win by a field goal. As the time expires, they win 27-24. We also talked to a camel in New Jersey earlier today who's also picking New York Giants to win the Super Bowl. But none of that matters until we hear from the man who knows best. Cousin Sal joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who's been with us all season long picking games and doing reasonably well. Hey, Sal, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
What is happening, fellas? Can you believe
what's
it
happening?
Here?
Everybody's talking about the Giants, but this game is literally too close to call, right?
It is very close to call, and I think that's why they do what they do, the sports books and these offshore sites. In a game like this, it's miserable, and you don't want to have to root for one team and another. So you could bet on thousands of what they call propositions.
Oh, I love the prop bets.
Oh, there's a ton of people panicking. They can't bet on football for 7 months, so they throw everything at you. You could bet like who won the coin toss, who scores first, who scores last. You can even cross sports. They have like LeBron James points on Sunday or the Patriots points on Sunday. Who will score more? I'm not kidding. It gets ridiculous. I actually found some more obscure ones.
Okay.
As I said, you could bet heads or tails, or you could bet that during the coin toss, a bankrupt Sinbad grabs a coin in midair, and we never get to see the kickoff. No, I'm not kidding.
Wait, if Sinbad
with Gary Coleman back in the 90s. He crawled through the referee's leg, stole the coin, we never saw the game.
Those sound like long odds, but look, it could happen. Who knows?
No, yeah. Anything could happen. You could bet what color Gatorade will be dumped on the head coach. The winning coach.
See, I could do those kind of bets.
Yeah, I think orange. Yeah. I think orange would be my favorite.
Orange won last year, and it was like 3-1. It was 3-1 odds.
Yeah.
Clear slash water is the favorite, but you could also bet at 25-1 odds that the Giants pour a cooler full of Proactive on Eli Manning. He has very bad skin.
Right, yeah. I think we get that.
Oh, you could bet all sorts of Madonna things. But she's performing at halftime. You could bet even odds that she gets replaced by Kelly Pickler after failing the HGH test. You could bet which will be higher, Victor Cruz's receiving yards or the number of visible veins in Madonna's arms. Whose mustache is longer, Wes Welker's or Madonna's? I'm almost done. Okay. Number of game balls made from Madonna's skin, over under 8.
Oh, wow.
This is an interesting one. over under 2.5, the number of your friends that will out themselves at your Super Bowl party by knowing all the lyrics to La Isla Bonita.
Something to look for.
That's
okay.
A key. Yeah. That's a tell, huh, that you know for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Hide in the bathroom if you know him. But odds that Madonna will ever have sex with me after hearing this segment, only 3-1 now.
Please.
Yeah, I had a real good chance.
Sal, you're about 20 years too old for Madonna to even acknowledge you exist.
So,
I'm sorry.
I guess so. Who will the MVP thank first? God, 2-1. Teammates, 3-1. 10-1 odds on parole officer, baby mama, or legal defense team. And, oh, here's one. This is very sad. I hope it doesn't happen. Even odds that Eli Manning's wife, Abby, leaps to her death from the luxury box after NBC shows a side-by-side photo of her and Giselle.
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. That would be very sad.
We don't want that. We don't want
terrible
that.
Way to go. You can read more. Yes, go ahead. There's more.
No, that's it. I was going to say, on to the game. What do you got? What are you guys feeling?
Well, here's the thing. I don't care so much at all about either team. There's a part of me, though, that feels bad for those Patriots players who suffered that humiliating defeat 4 years ago and ruined their perfect season. I'd kind of like to see them get some delayed gratification a little bit and win this one.
They haven't had enough gratification. That's the thing about New England.
It is funny how they really have turned it around. They're actually favored in this game. People are feeling bad for them because they're not getting enough respect. And you actually hear some of the players saying, no one believes in us. This is outrageous. They're the number one seed. They're going against the 4 seed. They have either 12, 13, or 15 wins every year. And like you said, they you fell into the trap. But
I did.
Yeah.
Sal, I would give them 9 or 10 points. I think they're going to win by that much.
You think the Pats are going to win by that
Pats.
Much? Wow.
Yes, I
All
do.
Right.
Yes,
I feel the Giants are more complete now, like on both sides of the ball. I think they have like a dozen big game players, and the Patriots have 3. And one of those 3 is Rob Gronkowski, who couldn't beat Doc on the Rock in a foot race earlier in the year. And the Giants move the ball so easily. And all year it's been remarkable to see like this Julian Edelman. He's like the Patriots' 4th wide receiver. He's been playing defense, and everyone goes crazy. Oh, Belichick did it again. Look at this. He's got a wide receiver covering, you know, a top receiver, but now he's got to cover a top 15 receiver, and like Cruz, Nick, Manning, it's not going to be as adorable as it's been. And I don't know. I see somewhere around my 4th or 5th guacamole hoagie, I can see the Giants taking control. I think they jump out to a 12-point lead. The Pats fight back and cut it to 1 score. I would say take the G-men. I hate saying the G-men. I can't believe they're in the
game. You just said the G-men. Yeah.
Take them and the points. I think they win 35-30.
All right.
Well, everybody thinks it's going to be a close game, and at least that's fun no matter what happens. At least it's entertaining to the end because there's nothing worse, and we've seen a lot of Super Bowls that have been blowouts in the first quarter. Nobody wants that. So at least we hope it's going to be a good game. It looks like it could be, right?
Absolutely. You know, and if I'm wrong, well, I'm not talking to you guys again until September, so who gives a crap?
Well, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Well, right. I've forgotten all about it by then, right? You can read more from Cousin Sal. He's got terrific analysis on the game and a lot of other prop bets, too, at Grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Look for him on your late-night TV with his actual cousin, Jimmy Kimmel. Sal, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on.
You, too. Enjoy the game.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:39.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. What? You sound exasperated.
What's wrong?
What's going on?
Oh, is it Monday yet?
No.
Oh.
Why?
Because I have to wait now 3 whole days for Stana Katic.
Oh, yeah, she is on Monday.
Well, yeah, but you get a weekend. You get the Super Bowl. You got a lot of things to look forward to.
Whatever with the Super Bowl. Pales in comparison to Stana Katic.
Co-star of Castle on Monday show.
Whew, man, she's good on that show.
I also have Grammy tickets on Monday show.
Whatever. You have tickets to Stana Katic's house?
No.
Then no one cares. She's the best. All right, before I get to showbiz news, I do have some more tickets to give away this time. For a very cool event brought to you by the folks who bring you The Simpsons. Simpsons celebrating their 500th episode. How do you like that?
How many years is that? How long has the show been on the air?
21 years, I think.
Damn.
Yeah, it is the longest running sitcom in American television history, the longest running animated program in American television history. It is, by all accounts, the most successful television program that's ever been on TV. That's a pretty big deal.
That's not bad, right?
500 episodes.
I'm number one.
Yes, you are,
Victory
Homer.
Victory is mine.
It is.
So kiss my behind.
All righty.
Boom, chaka-laka-laka. In your face.
Okey-doke.
Boom. Cha.
Gotcha.
Cacao. Ba.
Gotcha, Homer. Boo.
Ba. Yeah. Who's your daddy?
You are.
Ba. 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 Ba.
Simpsons 500th episode. To celebrate, Fox is doing the Simpsons Ultimate Fan Marathon Challenge at Hollywood and Highlands starting Wednesday, February the 8th. And I say starting because what they're going to do is get a bunch of Simpsons fans to try to break the Guinness Book of World Records record for most continuous television watching. So they're going to start with episode number one and try to get through as many episodes of The Simpsons that they can. Okay. All 500.
Wow.
Now, whoever's left will get a taste of the grand prize, which is $10,500. Just for participating, you'll get a copy of The Simpsons seasons 1 through 14 on DVD. So you'll have them all for your very own. And, irony of ironies, this whole event will be hosted by our very own Dave, the King of Mexico Sanchez, our producer. And I read and I say irony, folks, is because Mr. Sanchez beat the Guinness record for continuous television watching not once, but twice before and never got credit for it. So the current record of 86 hours and change that stands in the record books.
Dave did 100.
Yeah. And he did 90-something before that.
Yep. No credit.
No credit. But he'll be hosting. Fault. He'll be hosting. So he'll have some advice for the folks who get down there who actually participate.
He made a couple of paperwork errors.
Fox is giving us some reserved slots in this competition. If you'd like to try your luck to watch as much television as you possibly can, I've got room for one more winner. Here's your trivia question. You got to be a Simpsons fan to get in. The Simpsons, as we mentioned, been on television for well over 20 years, 500 episodes. However, they first started on television as a small part of another TV show. In what television program did The Simpsons first appear? That's your trivia question. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call in. First person through with the correct answer gets a slot in the Simpsons Ultimate Fan Marathon Challenge happening on Wednesday. All right. Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. Word is she's got a new boyfriend.
Oh, maybe she's getting married again quickly.
Wouldn't that be nice? Mark Sanchez.
Of the Jets?
Of the Jets.
Really?
He threw 18 interceptions last season, but it's possible his worst decision was made off the field. Reports are claiming that he is dating Kim Kardashian. And the fact that they had a relationship even prior to Kim ever getting involved with Chris Humphries, her...
You don't think I feel bad?
Her temporary husband.
No.
And the romance is now heated up again. Mark and Kim like to meet in hotels for dinner dates and flings, according to an insider.
All right.
Whenever Kim is in New York, they hang out. They are very careful not to be seen together. However, details have leaked out. I can't say the joke. It just came to my mind.
I know exactly what you were thinking. No.
Fill in your own joke, people. Sorry.
People are speculating perhaps she met Sanchez through former boyfriend Reggie Bush. Of course, they were teammates on the Trojans, USC. Just another time Trojans and Kim Kardashian have been involved in the same situation. Oh, thank you so much, folks. Nicely You're done. So kind. You're good, good people. Tip your waiters and waitresses. I'll be here all week. Eminem is being sued by a homeless man.
What?
A homeless man is suing Eminem for $9 million. Stephen Lee Pike claims he gave Eminem the idea for his Born of Fire Chrysler commercial that aired last year during the Super Bowl.
It's a pretty good commercial.
It's a great commercial.
Yeah.
Steven says he gave Eminem the idea.
Okay.
The homeless man claims he was having dinner with Christina Aguilera and her husband Jordan Bratman last year, or 2 years ago, when Eminem called Christina on her cell phone. Christina handed me the phone, and I told Eminem the idea for my commercial.
Well, it sounds like he's got a case.
Steven says he's due $9 million for his efforts. That's Christina, always dining with the homeless. That Sometimes she'll go into an alley and just... warm a can of baked beans over a Sterno pot and just shoot the...
Yep.
With the homeless. Just hang out with them, try to pick their brains, see if they have any good creative ideas.
It's what she's known for.
It is what she's known
for.
More
than singing, even.
It's
weird.
Hanging with the homeless.
Yeah.
She loves the homeless.
She does.
And while we're talking about the homeless, Kevin Federline's in the news. He says he is happy now that his music career didn't really turn out.
So yeah. Are we.
Sure.
Sure it's a win-win. Because now he gets to follow his real dream.
Which is...
Acting.
Sitting on the couch.
Oh, no.
Acting.
What?
Yes.
Nope.
His true dream is to be an actor, K-Fed says. And he'd love to land a sitcom gig.
Sure he would.
He says that he wants people to admire him just for himself.
Then be someone else. That's the only way it's going
to
happen.
I want people to admire me for myself, he says. That's not possible, Kevin. I'm sorry. We'd like to help you out there.
You're a proven douchebag. But that doesn't help.
Nothing we can do.
It is funny, though, because he was the guy who was in the right place to have sex with Britney Spears. He now thinks he's entitled to a lifelong career in the entertainment industry.
Look.
Like, at this point, shouldn't he be going, okay, that phase of my life is over. Now I need to learn how to be a plumber or something. Just, I need a skill.
He has not cornered the market on entitlement when it comes to
crazy.
You're right.
He gets checks from her all the time. Why? Why would he do that?
Yeah. Well, child support, I don't think I mean, you know, she's probably more generous than she needs to be. But this is crazy that he thinks he now has a career in show business.
I'm sure she gives him a Funyun budget or something, whatever it is, whatever snack food he's... He's indulging in these days. I'm sure.
Everybody needs a Funyun budget.
He gets a little something, something. Tim Tebow's making a little money.
Yeah?
Just signed a deal with Jockey Underwear to be the new face of Jockey. Now, because of his devout Christian beliefs, he will not be pictured wearing the tighty whities.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
He won't pose in the underwear.
He's going to hold them or what? I mean,
he is going to be seen in his jeans, shirtless, rocking his six-pack. But if you look at the jeans just above the waistband of the jeans, you'll see the waistband of Jockey Underwear.
Yeah, I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
There will be galloping horses and stormy gray skies in the background as he stands in the middle of a grassy field getting ready to throw a pass. Sounds like gay porn. Shirtless guy in a grassy field with some stallions.
Showing off his underwear.
Showing off his abs and his undies.
When did all football games get played outdoors in long pants and jeans?
That's all Brett Favre does these days.
When did that happen?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the Jeans Bowl, though, next year.
Yeah, he's got quite a fan base, though. I wouldn't be surprised if...
Teebs? Oh, yeah.
People follow him and buy his products?
Yeah, I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Don't his fans have magic underwear, though? Don't they have a different kind of
those
underwear?
Are the Mormons.
Oh,
same.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir.
And NBC is giving out further details of their remake of the Munsters television program. They're bringing back to television. The Munsters, for those who don't remember, was a very popular sitcom in the 1960s that was a spoof, a parody of the movie monsters, Frankenstein and Dracula and the Wolfman and the like. NBC's bringing it back, but this time it's going to be serious.
Sign they mean it.
This time it's about serious monsters living amongst regular people, going to work with a lunchbox.
Love it.
Isn't there a show already on, Ralph, I'm sure you watch it. There's a vampire that lives with a werewolf,
yeah,
that lives with the Invisible Man or something
human.
Like that.
Being human.
Being human, right? Being it sounds human, like yeah. That's what you're describing, right?
It's an American show based on a popular British television program. Perhaps what gave NBC the inspiration to bring back the Munsters.
Well, however, it's already being done.
They're calling it Mockingbird Lane. Not the Munsters. That's the new title of the series.
Okay.
Mockingbird Lane, of course, was the address where the Munsters lived. 1313 Mockingbird Lane. And they said this will give it a more serious tone and distance it from the original. If you want to distance something from the Munsters, why not make a different show other than the Munsters? So, we'll see more
We're
of that.
We're calling it by the address. That's how different this
done.
Is.
It's so nutty. We haven't answered my trivia question?
We do, as a matter of fact. We have a guy named Sue.
It's not a guy. It's a beautiful young lady who's a Simpsons fan. Sue?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, guys.
Where did
Lisa May.
Hello.
Where did the Simpsons first appear on television, Sue?
The Tracy Ullman Show.
The Tracy Ullman Show, that's right.
Yay.
They were interstitial animations that were in and out of commercial breaks on the Tracy Ullman Show, which is a great show, too, by the way. Congratulations, hold on, but you have entered into... The Fan Challenge, which allows you to try to watch as much television as you can and perhaps win $10,500.
Woohoo!
Are you going to go for it, Sue? You're going to show up and actually try to break the record? Wow. Good luck to you.
That's our girl. Let us know how it goes.
All right.
All right. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. Today's celebrity birthday is Dave Davies, one of the founders of the legendary British rock band The Kinks, 65 years old today. You a fan of The Kinks, Bean? I know you like classic rock and roll.
Yeah, they're a great band.
Good band. Actress Morgan Fairchild, 62 years old today. Nathan Lane turns 56. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place, both the original and the reboot, 53 years old today. Maura Tierney from ER and News Radio is 47. Isla Fisher, 36 years old, and rapper Sean Kingston celebrates his 22nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, Static Attic.
Yeah!
Say that for you.
Plus yeah!
Complete recap of the Super Bowl, of course. We've got Andrew Siciliano on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you know something I don't like? Chocolate chip cookies.
And death.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
Roll another one.
That's what the Bible calls an abomination.
Just like the other one.
That is witty as all
this
hell.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Which one's Kevin?
He's here on a special work program. He's slow, you know, in his brain.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah.
It, it's crap.
This one seems to be about to end.
I like soccer. It is good.
I don't have another cent.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
Yeah.
And how often have you used it?
Just pass it around.
You've got to lower your expectations.
It's over.
And that just did it for this edition. We thank you so much for joining us. We thank our exciting guest stars and, of course, the Soul Train dancers. You come on and do it with us next week on these same stations, and you can bet your last money it's all going to be a stone gas, honey. I'm Don Cornelius, and as always, in parting, we wish you love and peace. And
okay, by my watch, it's Margarita O'Clock.